much about.
My day starts with a cigarette, a cup of coffee, a good DM, and Kevin and Bean in the morning. Not necessarily in that order.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Yeah, what was it? Yeah, he got it! Woo! Yes! Oh, he got it right here! Woo! Oh, he got it right over there! Woo! Yeah! Oh, he got it!
I don't know what we're yelling about!
But I'll tell you, the fastest way to throw money down the trash is in legal fees.
Tell Lightning he should sue himself with LegalZoom. You don't throw money down the trash. It's either in the trash or down the drain.
And now,
give it up for this guy. I don't know his name.
Our feature presentation.
He does good work on a mic.
Lightning is the best.
It's the best.
I started going through some of the tape that I have on Lightning, who, by the way, for folks who don't remember, was a longtime producer of the Kevin and Bean Show, now works for KROQ.com. But when you put, as he's the best hype man, when you put him in front of a crowd with a microphone, the energy that he has,
it passes good right into annoying.
Yeah, that is true.
As you heard, he's just like yelling at the top of his lungs. People can only take that for like 2 seconds.
That is classic.
Yes, it is classic. Absolutely.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday, the 4th of November.
How? By the way, I miss Blowember, first of all, Lisa. Second of all.
Yeah, that's my fault. Mm-hmm.
How was everybody's long, long, long weekend?
Well, that extra hour sure helped.
Made a difference, right?
Yeah,
daylight
it.
Savings time is really great.
Yeah, I love daylight
first
savings
of all,
time.
Standard time, best. First of all.
But it's, hey, you go back. It's daylight savings time. What do you mean standard? Savings.
No, it's standard time.
Standard. I don't understand.
We went
that.
Off daylight savings time.
Oh, we went off daylight savings.
Savings!
What?
Look, I know it's November, but let me do, please permit me to do one final Halloween-related story because this was all the buzz on the internet this weekend. Did you guys see the story of Alicia Ann Lynch, a 22-year-old from Michigan? And what happened to her when she tweeted a photo of her in her Halloween costume?
I did not know.
I did not either.
Now, we managed to survive hundreds of years in this country being able to dress up on Halloween. And if your costume was offended, people rolled their eyes and thought, dude, that ain't cool. And that was the end of it, right?
Yeah, of course.
Now, it's World War III if anyone wears a costume that's offensive anymore. Now, the wrath of the internet and the media come down on you if you wear a costume that 100% of the people don't think is appropriate. And in this case, most people, I think, would agree that this is a fairly tasteless costume. But it is Halloween, and she was trying to be funny.
Right.
She dressed up as a Boston Marathon bombing victim. Now, she's not the only one, by the way. There were a lot of people this weekend who did that. And she's a very pretty girl. Like I say, 22 years old. She's wearing what you would run in a marathon in. And she's got a runner number on her. And then she's, added a bunch of makeup to show that she's got blood on her and things like that, as if she was at the Boston Marathon. It's very tasteless.
Yeah,
of course. I'm not defending it as being in great taste. But it's a Halloween costume. Well, she tweeted it, and you can just imagine the outrage from lots and lots and lots of people. You know, people at the Boston Marathon died in terror and agony. You looked at the images and thought, ooh, funny costume. You are an absolutely disgusting human being. Wow, I wonder if you had kids, if you had put them in bloodied Sandy Hook shirts. So they're just coming down on her hard on the internet, okay?
Right.
Well, then, as the internet tends to do, they did a little bit of research and dug up every bit of information they could on her, started posting her home address.
Oh,
Started advising people to start mailing things, including human feces, to her home.
Oh, no.
Hey, why don't you go by and blow up her house? That sort of thing. Then they tracked down her parents and started making death threats to her parents for having her.
Wow.
Now, she doesn't live with her parents. Her parents didn't know anything about this. They had nothing to do with this. But now they're getting death threats because their daughter wore a costume that somebody found offensive.
Okay, this is insane.
I mean, again, be disappointed in her. Don't be friends with her if you want. But isn't what the people on the internet are doing far worse than the poor taste that she showed in choosing a Halloween costume that offended some people? This won't surprise you to know, by the way, and I don't know, they don't give the details whether it was as a result of people coming to or contacting the business where she worked, but she has been fired. She did lose her job.
Oh, God.
Well.
As a result of her Halloween costume. She has apologized repeatedly. It was wrong of me. It was very distasteful. My costume was not meant to disrespect anyone. I'm truly sorry to anyone I might have offended or have been hurt. I know my apology doesn't fix any hurt that's been done, but please know I'm being sincere. I can't undo my actions. She just goes on and on and on about this. But she's you know, she's out of job right now, and she had to delete all of her social media accounts. And I don't know what happened. I don't know what happens to her next. Now, next time she goes to look for a job, does she not get a job because you Google her name and this is the only thing that's going to come up?
Just that photo?
I mean, her life has just changed so drastically from just picking out a Halloween costume that she thought was funny. She also says, by the way, that she checked it with people at work before she wore the costume to make sure it was cool. There's somebody at her work whose father ran in the Boston Marathon. He had no problem with it and thought it was funny.
Okay, well... Then it's understandable that she would think it would be okay.
Crazy story.
Yeah.
Anyways.
That's really, that's.
I guess she's going to have to fly to Russia and get a job with Snowden. This is how it works.
I guess the message is you're not allowed to have a Halloween costume that offends anybody anymore. That's where we're at.
Well, you better not tweet it. That's for sure. If it's borderline, just don't tweet it.
Yeah, I guess so.
Just keep it off.
So good times.
But on the other side of it, on the flip side, you know, she has a right to do it, but people also have the right to complain about it.
Yeah,
if they
want.
Death threats. That's ridiculous, of course. I'm not.
And getting her fired.
Yeah, that's.
Putting her home address on the internet, yeah. Too,
well,
by
that's,
the way.
You can't control that.
No bad can come from that.
There's no 22-year-old woman who wants her home address on the internet.
No, I agree. No. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
The choice is yours. And in case you've forgotten, I am indifferent.
All right. We have Liz Carmouche on the program today. Talking about UFC Fight Night for the troops. It's charity time again for my charity. My wife and I run Friends and Helpers. She's going to be in talking about that. We have Andrew Siciliano talking about the NFL this weekend. Arizona Cardinals did not lose. Woo!
And
did they not,
did
play?
Not play?
Did not play.
Had a week
now,
off.
How'd I know that?
Did the Cardinals win or lose their last game?
One being on the march to the Super Bowl.
So you still get to enjoy some wings this morning.
That's right.
You got carryover wings.
Wings for me. We'll check it with TMZ as we do. And we've got details on night number one of the 24th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
That's ridiculous.
At 7:15 this morning.
Weren't we just talking about how it was just Halloween a few days ago,
yes.
And now we're talking about Acoustic Christmas? What's going on?
Details on night one at 7:15 this morning. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beatnik. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:50, even though here in the studio it says 6:50.
It's hard to believe that they weren't on that yesterday, changing the clocks.
Right, because of the time change.
Hey, 7:50 this morning, details on night number one of the 24th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. I know that they warn us that we're not allowed to say anything ahead of time.
Right.
I mean, they're pretty serious about making sure that the information is saved for 7:15.
Right.
But for the people that are up early on a Monday morning, do you mind if I just give them a tiny little hint about something we may be talking about later?
Yeah, just make it vague.
Wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
That's all I can say. 7:15. Details on night number one coming up here on the world-famous K-Rock. First, though, we're filling in for Ralph Garman for one more day on the Showbiz Beat. He'll be back tomorrow, and we'll start like he would with the top 10 movies over the weekend. By the way, big movie news this weekend. $110 million opening for a new film this weekend.
$110 million?
Really?
$110 million for the new Thor, The Dark World. Oh, wait a minute. Hasn't opened in the United States yet. That was overseas. It made that much money. Hasn't even opened here yet.
Wow, no kidding.
You know, it used to be that the we got all the movies first because we were the big money-making market. That's not the case anymore. They make more money on a lot of movies, especially movies like, you know, comic book movies, outside of the United States than they do inside the United States. So you play in, you know, throughout Asia and Europe and places like that. That's where the cash is.
How about that?
And that that opens here, I guess. I'm sure that'll be Thursday night is when people will be able to start going to see Thor here in America. But the movies that we did have to choose from, Ender's Game was number one, the new film with Harrison Ford based on the classic science fiction book from 1985. Ender's Game debuted with $28 million to box office over the weekend.
Can I do a line for you from that movie, B?
Did you see it?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, let's hear it.
What's your name? Ender. That's a stupid name. What's your name? Bean? That happens in that
There's
movie.
There's a Bean in the movie?
Yeah, he's one of the main characters.
You're kidding.
B-E-A-N.
Who knew?
It was one of the straight. I was like looking around like, is somebody punking me? What's happening right now?
Was it good?
Yeah, I liked it a lot. Yeah. I liked it a lot.
How's the little kid?
He's great.
Yeah?
It is funny, though, because during the filming, his voice changed. At the beginning, he's like, I don't know if I can do this. And at the end, he's like, fire.
Number two was Jackass Presents Bad Grandpa with another $20.5 million. Last Vegas came in at number three, ladies and gentlemen, $16.5 million. Anybody go see it?
No.
Nope.
Freebirds at number four, then Gravity, Captain Phillips, 12 Years a Slave, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, Carrie, and The Counselor rounds out your top 10 from box office weekend.
Justin Bieber's making news again, this time in a Brazilian brothel.
Wow, what's Justin up to?
It's a step further than he usually does.
Yeah, he likes nightclubs usually.
Apparently, he left this brothel covered by a sheet with his security so that nobody could see who it was. But they did see a tattoo that he has, so they knew it was him. But apparently he spent over 3 hours inside the popular whorehouse in Rio de Janeiro, the New York Post is saying, before leaving with two women.
Were they under the sheets too?
I don't know.
I had a question about that, if this happened. Who takes women away from the brothel?
I don't know exactly.
That's a really good question.
Especially if you're there for 3 hours, you know, without being indelicate. Aren't you done? And then do you just want to hang out with Brazilian hookers for their personalities?
No, you're done after 3 minutes, and then you just nap for 2 hours and 57 minutes. But I don't know about taking them home. That's bizarre.
It strikes me as weird, and I know that people are just blasting on Justin. He's claiming it didn't happen, but so what if it did happen? He's 19 years old. He's single. He's got all the money in the world. Who cares?
Seriously, I'd walk out with, you know, my arms up. Woo! Check me out!
I mean, look, one thing we've learned about Justin is he doesn't care what his fans think. He's not trying to uphold any kind of image anymore, right? He's just, screw it, I'm going to do whatever the hell I want, like me or not.
And the other thing about him performing in Sao Paulo was that he was an hour and a half late for the show.
This is getting to be a thing with
him. Yes, and because he kicked a Brazilian flag was on the floor or something, he kicked it to kind of get it out of the way, and that made people mad. And somebody threw a water bottle and knocked the microphone out of his hand, and he stormed off. Love it.
Did he come back?
Love it. Nope.
No?
Nope. They all waited for about 30 minutes. They brought up the house lights, and they said, good night.
Oh, my God.
So
is going well.
He's melting, and I couldn't be happier.
He is melting. You know how we look at the celebrities and we get sad when they can't make it? How can we hope to make it?
Right.
I have two tragic breakups for you guys today. First of all, Tan Mom is single.
Tan Mom had a husband?
She did?
Yes. She got a man?
Patricia Kretzel has filed for divorce from her longtime hubby, Richard, after, and you're going to love this, have you ever heard of a marriage breaking up for this reason? They were on a game show called The Test, a lie detector show, and he failed a question about infidelity on TV, a show called The Test. So she's filing for divorce because now she thinks she knows that he's been unfaithful to her. She is seeking $500 per week in child support and another $500 in spousal support. She also, by the way, has been complaining how tiny his penis is. Now, they've been married for a long time, and all of a sudden, now that they're breaking up, she can't stop it anymore. Right. Now she's complaining that he's not well endowed. Someone was married to Tan Mom, you guys.
Wow, I'm surprised he didn't file long ago.
She got a...
It's Tan Mom, bitch!
She got a dude. That happened. She had a guy that said yes.
That's right. And by the way, didn't we find out, weren't we speculating whether she was 60, 70, or 80, and we found out she was like 42 or something?
Yes. Looks terrible.
So that's Tan Mom.
I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, use your brain, like, duh.
Okay, thank you. And the other one that is in the news, Kevin.
Can I just butt in just for a second, being real quick?
Yes.
Tan Mom was complaining about her husband's penis in her comedy routine.
She has a comedy routine?
That's correct. So I just wanted to toss that in there.
In her stand-up? Oh, my God.
Comedy routine.
Other one that's in the news that's broken up, and who could have seen this coming? Because usually when you're 16 and you marry a 51-year-old, it's going to last forever.
Sure.
But Courtney Stodden, you guys, has broken up from Doug Hutchison.
No.
Now, wasn't the deal with that couple that no two people have ever been more in love than they were?
Yeah, well, that was their public persona. Oh, right? He's the best. The age difference doesn't make any difference.
Because we're remember, so in love.
And he just loved her displaying everything she had.
All the people who said to them, this isn't going to work out. You're a teenager and an idiot, and he's a creepy old lecherous man. Don't do it. Oh, no, it's going to last forever. Well, it lasted 3 years.
Who filed? So
she's 19 now. She said it is said that she said she could found out she could survive by herself after starring in the British version of Big Brother. And it doesn't say who filed, but the way the article is written, it's making it sound like it was her decision to walk away.
I imagine it was. Because that's really the best he's ever going to do.
Yeah, no kidding.
It doesn't it seem like as overboard as she has already gone on plastic surgery, that she is just going to continue to get freakier and freakier and freakier.
Oh, yeah.
Because she needs to do something every few months in order to get back in the tabloids.
Right.
She can't just walk around with her, you know, triple F boobs or something like that and expect people to take pictures again next year. So she's got to do something else to her face or whatever. I just can't even imagine what her future is going to be like.
Well, it's not going to be good. We all know that. Yeah. That's just going to be a disaster. That's not going to be good at all. Portia de Rossi gave a very candid interview about her sexual orientation. She revealed, quote, I didn't want to be a lesbian. She thought they were, quote, strange and had some, quote, ridiculous images in her head. So she was terrified to tell people until she met Ellen. They fell in love and then she was able to come out. But, you know, when she was younger, she just she had a lot of weird thoughts about the lesbians.
I imagine a lot of people don't choose. I mean, they don't choose to be gay, and it's definitely a harder life, telling your family and all that stuff.
But I also think that there are a fair number of women who never thought they were lesbians and never planned on a relationship with a woman until they met that woman that did it for them. And all of a sudden they fell in love with the person, not with the sex of the person.
That does seem to happen, yeah.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays, by the way, our friend Jeff Probst, who we'll be having back on the Kevin and Bean Show shortly. He is the host of Survivor. He turns 51 years old today. Sean Puff Daddy P. Diddy Combs is 45 years old today. Kathy Griffin, 53. How about Ralph Macchio, the Karate Kid, you guys? Eternally youthful in my mind, 52 years old today.
Wow.
And actor Matthew McConaughey, who is just getting rave reviews and lots of Oscar talk for his current film, Dallas Buyers Club, is 44. Also, Real Housewife of New York, Bethany Frankel, turns 43. And Raymond's mom on Everyone Loves Raymond, Doris Roberts, turns 83 today. And that's the Ralph Showbiz.
Just over an hour from now, about 7:15-ish, we're going to give you details on night number one of the 24th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Yesterday was another unbelievable NFL Sunday. First of all, there were some blowout games that are always fun if your team is the one doing the blowing out,
sure.
Like Philadelphia was over the Oakland Raiders and like the Patriots were over the Steelers. Patriots, by the way, Tom Brady, who's had a pretty shaky season for a team with as great a record as they have, finally caught fire yesterday. 55 points the Patriots had. What was the last time you saw a football game with 55 points on one side?
Yeah, it's been a while.
You don't see that very often.
Yeah.
And that Eagles game, Nick Foles, how many touchdowns did he end up throwing before they finally took him out of the game? Was it six or seven?
I don't know. I didn't
for the
see,
Eagles?
I didn't
it was,
see the
it
Eagles
was insane.
Game. Seven. I'm being
and then there were some ridiculously close games that gave us all heart attacks. And before we talk about a couple of those, I think we may have to have an intervention, you guys.
Really?
I think our man Beer Mug is getting a little bit too invested in what the scores are in the NFL games because the rest of us, we're just watching for fun. I think Muggs is watching because it matters whether his legs are going to be broken or not based on how these games come out.
What?
He's some people are good gamblers.
Yeah.
Then there's Muggs, and he's not such a good gambler. And he's worried. I mean, Bean's right. He's sitting on the couch on Sunday just pouring sweat. He's thinking, like, I need a fake passport. I need to find a plane out of the United States. What's going on with you?
Sure is an adrenaline rush, let me tell you.
Is this a new thing for you this season, Muggs, that you're getting into the gambling? Have you been spending too much time with Cousin Sal? What's happening?
The only time I used to – I kind of got into it back with years ago with baseball, and I was terrible at it, so I stopped for a while.
Uh-huh.
And the only time I found myself betting on games was when I was in Vegas. I'm like, oh, I'll just go to the sports book, pick a couple games. But now I have to do it every Sunday. It's addicting. It's addicting.
How many games are you betting on?
I do a three-game parlay.
Those are easy to hit. That's good.
Well, you know, I'll take, you know, the spread in one game. I'll take the over in another, and I'll just take, like, a money line bet or straight-up bet in the, you know, for my last.
And how's that been doing for you?
Well, when I started, I was up $840. I was hitting parlays. I was doing good.
Right.
I gave all that back, and now I'm down $800.
Mm. Whoa, that's a lot of money in Mugs world.
And the, my problem is I think I was trying to, I was getting greedy. I was trying to like make thousands of dollars off like a $100 bet, which, by the way, I shouldn't even be betting $20, let alone $100 a week.
But you've been, and I like that.
I have. I like you. I've been trying, you know.
I like your confidence.
I've been trying to, you know, hit it big, but yeah, I cannot pick them these last couple weeks until this weekend. I did a three-way parlay. I took the Colts. The Colts, it was a pick 'em, so it was an even game. So I picked the Colts, and I took the over in that game, which was insane yesterday. I almost went through the ceiling because the Colts came back in the fourth quarter. I thought it was over. I thought my legs were going to be broken. So now all I need to complete my parlay is Green Bay by 10. So if Green Bay can win by 10 tonight, actually, I have to be 11.
Come on, Chicago.
No, if Green Bay can win by 11 tonight, I will be out of the hole $800 and plus up $300.
Now, are you going to learn from this experience?
Oh, yes.
You
know, no, yes. I really
so
am.
Cute when you say that, B.
It's time to walk away. It's what you're going to learn after this? If you could finally win your money back, at least now you're not going to lose anymore. You're going to quit.
Either that or not make $100 bets every week. Because I've been doing that for like the last 9 weeks and just been losing.
Oh, my God.
How come you don't make that kind of money.
I know. And I was fully prepared, Lisa, to have to do like a cash advance on my credit card so I could pay the guy.
That's a good plan. I think you should stick with that.
With like 25% interest.
Now, Muggs, I don't know what legal or illegal betting you're doing, but do you have to pay up? Do you have to settle up at the end of every weekend, or do you let it ride?
Well, luckily, the guy that, you know, or whoever that I'm, you know, doing credits with.
We got that. It.
Okay. Kind of need to be, he's pretty lenient. He takes payments. And he'll do, like, he'll carry it over sometimes. But $800, I mean, he's going to want it.
Of course.
And I'm going to have, you know, either Green Bay's got to win tonight.
So if Green Bay doesn't win tonight by, what did you say, 11?
11.
11.
Then what?
Then I will be in the hole for $1,000.
Yay!
Come on, Chicago.
No!
You are a stupid human being.
I know.
So tell me what his odds are. I mean, is Green Bay favored?
Okay, so Green Bay is favored. They're favored by 10 points. That's how the odds makers make it. And it's looking good. I'm already starting good because Chicago's starting quarterback is out. Jay Cutler's out.
That's right.
And Lance Briggs, their running back, is out.
Listen to him. Listen to the desperation.
I know.
So, no, seriously. No, guys, it was a good bet. Honestly, it was a good bet. It wasn't a dumb bet.
The quarterback's out, and right? Green Bay's playing at home, and Aaron Rodgers has been on a tear. So hopefully they can keep that momentum going and then just blow them out.
But they have to win by 11.
They have to win by 11, Muggs. But technically two touchdowns.
Oh, this is sweet.
Wow, Muggs.
This is sweet.
That's tough.
Muggs is going to be working on a radio show in Mexico next week. Next week.
Yes. Yeah, it'll be done.
All right. We are out of time. So, Muggs, this could be your final appearance on the Kevin DeBede Show today, right?
You wish me luck, you guys. It was nice working with you. And if I come in a wheelchair tomorrow, Chip, you have to run the board. You'll be able to reach
climb
it.
On your shoulders.
Yeah. Come on, Chicago.
No!
1 hour from right now, details on the 24th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, number one.
Ooh, tell me.
1 hour from right now. Who's playing?
Who's the band?
And we're going to tell you an hour from now.
Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, we check in with the TMZ newsroom. Harvey Levin not available, but our close personal friend Dax Holt is there and working hard. Good morning, Dax. How are you, sir?
I'm doing awesome. How's everyone over there?
Very good. Thank you.
Doing fine. How was your weekend, man?
Awesome. Got to relax, sleep in.
What kind of fun things does Dax Holt to do on the weekend?
Don't ask me that. It was a lame weekend. Go to the Home Depot and did a little craft. It wasn't very exciting, okay?
All right. Nothing to brag about. I love the story that you put up this morning or late last night about Kendall Jenner. Now, it's funny because we have often been criticized for being creepy old man on this program, Dax, because we have on occasion set up a countdown clock to when a young starlet turns 18. Because we all know that when they turn 18, certain laws kick into effect. What's going on with Kendall Jenner?
Well, the good news is today you can officially call her hot.
All right.
Yeah.
Yay!
Right.
And listen, you're not the only people that have been doing the countdown. There's now quite a few porn companies that are going after her, saying, look, we would love to just throw money at you to do an adult film. We know at least six companies are hoping to convince her she'll get in front of a camera with a partner. One company was willing to pay her $1.8 million
to
get naked on camera. And then another company was saying, oh, we can do a girl-girl encounter with Jessie Jane. And, I mean, they're all going after her now that she's 18. I mean, she does like to post a bunch of, you know, not-so-clothed photos on Instagram.
Sure.
So,
she likes the sexy pose.
Yeah. Yeah. So they figured, you know, this could be a next step considering Kim's past and everything. And listen, I don't know if she's actually going to acknowledge any of these, but because she wants to go more of a model route. But, you know, the offers are out
there. Here's all I'll say. It worked for Kim.
It did work for Kim.
It sure did.
And let me ask you this, Dax. In the Kardashian family, is there any shame at all
in
being in a porn video? I mean, it's not like she's going to break her parents' hearts, right? I mean, that's what that family does.
That's the thing. I mean, it can't be that bad if Kim has made it to such a superstar level because of that tape.
Yeah, right. But they're all famous now, so you don't have to do that to be famous and get lots of money because you're part of that family.
Hey, why? But what you learn?
Well,
yeah,
just
a little less from the girl.
What the truth is,
but Lisa, Kris Jenner, what motivates Kris Jenner more than hey, look at me? It's money. She has a chance for her daughter to make $1.8 million for an afternoon's work.
Company. If she actually took it serious and said, okay, I'm interested, and you got those companies bidding against each other, it could be way more, you know, way more than 1.8.
And then
million.
Chris will take her normal 98% cut. Everybody's happy.
I think my favorite part of the article, Dax, is I knew about Brazzers and Babes and Digital Playground. I was unfamiliar with the company BangYouLater.com. I think that was what I was happy to learn about. All right. Well, please.
Your eyes to new sites.
Keep us posted, and in the event that there's late-breaking Kendall Jenner porn offer news, I want you to call the hotline, okay? We'll put you right on. All right. Let's move on to something that's not quite as much fun. Chris Brown, last week you told us all about, or Harvey told us all about, the altercation that he got into in Washington, D.C. at 4:30 in the morning in front of a hotel. There were some discrepancies as to what actually happened, but he was, in fact, arrested, spent a day or two in jail. Then what happened after he got out, and what's he up to now?
So he had checked himself into rehab. Did you guys know about that?
Yeah, it seemed like it was a preemptive strike, right?
Exactly.
A PR move.
So he checked himself into rehab for anger management, basically to kind of tell everyone, look, I'm trying to get my demons under control. See, I'm a good guy. I realize that I have a problem, so don't throw me into prison, because he could face 4 years behind bars in prison if they violate his probation. And we know that he has met with his probation officer. He did that on Friday, sat down and said, look, I know I have a problem. That's why I'm doing this anger management, I'm going to get this under control. Here's the problem is the probation department can see right through this. They know what he's doing. They know what Mark Garagos is trying to do by taking him and putting him in rehab, and they're not really buying it. They're like, good, I mean, stay in rehab. By all means, stay in rehab, do what you need to do, but that doesn't mean they're going to let him off the hook, and there's a good chance that they will still violate his probation because it's been one thing after another after another. As for the D.C. case where he allegedly punched the guy in the face, there's, like, no evidence out there. There's no videotape, no surveillance camera around there got it. And they're in D.C. They're, like, a stone's throw from the White House. How is there no camera that got this fight in the middle of a street?
That's a good question.
I mean, besides the official cameras, just the fact that it's Chris Brown who has so many fans, why wasn't there just somebody on the sidewalk with a phone?
Yeah, it's amazing. And the one guy that has come forward is a Secret Service agent who has said that he heard the victim say that Chris never punched the guy to a cop. So that's one more strike, you know, against the victim and for Chris Brown. So Chris Brown could potentially just walk away from that whole thing that happened in D.C.
Yeah, it sounds like, I mean, if it's a he said, he probably will.
You're obviously going to believe a Secret Service agent over anyone else.
Right, right, right.
Well, especially over somebody who's done this before in the past and lied.
Right.
Exactly.
When you say he admitted to that he has demons, is he talking about any kind of drugs and alcohol or just anger management?
He's just talking anger. He's talking that he has major issues with controlling his anger, and that's why there's been so many outbursts, you know, like throwing chairs through windows, obviously the Rihanna beatdown. You know, he goes, look, I've got a problem, and I want to solve that. But, you know, it's a little late now, Chris.
I think the solution is solitary confinement for life for Chris Brown. If I were the judge, that's what I would be ruling.
I'm down with that.
All right, you can watch TMZ live on Fox Channel 11 here in Southern California at 4 p.m., and then the TMZ OG show airs at 6, and then throughout the day in reruns. Dax Holt is our man in the TMZ newsroom. Have a great week, my friend. Thanks for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Bye, guys.
Hey, party people, less than an hour from right now, all the details you need to know on the 24th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Concert, night number one. I can't wait. It's going to be great. And of course, we'll have that announcement and then all the details at KRock.com as well. Hey, K-Rock's Kevin.
Yep.
Is there a movie you're looking forward to more in 2013 than the return of Ron Burgundy in the Anchorman season?
Oh, God, no.
You're not alone.
I've been looking forward to this since I sat down and watched the first second of the first one.
Yes. Ron Burgundy, in my opinion, is one of the greatest television characters of all time. And it's amazing to me how difficult it was to get this second movie made. Yeah. How many times did we do stories about how all the cast members wanted to do it? Steve Carell was totally in, and Paul Rudd was in, and Christina Applegate was in. Everybody wanted to do it. The screenwriters were in, but the movie company didn't think they could finance it or didn't think it would make enough money or whatever. Finally, it's getting made, and finally it's coming out. And it's just been a blessing for us because there's been so much Ron Burgundy stuff on our TVs. You guys, by now, everybody has seen the Dodge Durango commercials that Ron Burgundy does.
Sure.
Will Ferrell as Ron Burgundy. They filmed 70 of them, by the way. So we have lots of them we still haven't seen leading up to the release. Here's one of my favorites. Well, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was going
to. On my right is the new Dodge Durango with up to 360 horsepower. On my left is one horse with one horsepower. It makes you feel pretty dumb, doesn't it? This thing is literally 360 times more powerful than you. Look at you. You're worthless. There you have it. 360 times better than a horse. Staring contest, go. I win.
That's just one of like 10 of them or something that they've aired so far.
This glove compartment holds 70 packs of gum. I love it.
They're just so brilliant. Well, just released, I think, on Friday was the trailer for a book, a Ron Burgundy autobiography. Have you guys even heard about this?
Not, no. Mm-mm.
Here's Ron talking about his new book that's going to be out just in time for Christmas.
I've been asked to talk about why I wrote my highly, highly anticipated autobiography, Let Me Off at the Top. Well, for one thing, it turns out I'm a great book writer. I've always been a great anchorman. And great flute player and a great collector of fine leather-bound manuscripts. But lo and behold, I really can write a heck of a book. I'm not going to lie to you. This is a very important book from an important man. I was the number one news anchor in all of San Diego. My name is Ron Burgundy. And what you have in your hands is a very big deal. It's my life. It's my words. It's my gift to you, generic UK readers.
All right, so there's... Again, if there were a Ron Burgundy channel, I would listen to nothing else.
Yeah.
So now I bring you to Boise, Idaho, Channel 6. Here's a local sportscaster who decides for Halloween he is going to be Ron Burgundy on the TV. And he does a pretty good job. He's wearing the anchor jacket and he's got the big bushy mustache on and he starts his newscast with his sports report anyway, being a little Ron.
Now sports with sports director Paul Gerke.
Ribs. I had ribs for lunch. That's why I'm doing this. Oh, hello there. The Associated Press released its preseason basketball poll today. Boise State isn't on it. Please tell me this is some kind of sick and tasteless joke. Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. The Broncos received 22 points in the poll and would be ranked 32nd if the rankings were extended.
So he's got doesn't quite have the voice down, but he's doing
got the attitude pretty well.
Yeah. He definitely has the attitude. He's doing a pretty good job of a guy who thinks he's awesome at the news, but is really terrible. Here's some more.
In other sports news, Boise State will be looking to grab Colorado State by the horns on Saturday, but those Rams are tough, just like the new Dodge Durango with the 360 horsepower Hemi V8 and 7,400 pounds of towing capacity. The Dodge Durango is. This is video of football. I'm in a glass case of emotion.
And by the way, his co-anchors on the news are just dying.
I'll bet.
They can't even believe that he's able to keep this up for so long.
Chris Peterson, who is very important, has many leather-bound books, and whose apartment surely smells of rich mahogany, said he expected McElwain to be successful. A very important sports anchor with whom I am friends talked to Jim in July about turning the program around.
I think at some point they ask him to do the weather. They love him so much that they don't want him to just keep doing sports.
Just keep doing it?
Keep doing the weather, right, exactly.
Hey, how's that extended forecast there, Ron?
He's so good at it.
Friday, 58, nice. Saturday's got a slight chance of brezzy, I believe it's spelled.
See, because it's breezy.
Sunday, flurries from Dairy Queen. I like what you did there, Scott. You planned my menu out for me. Monday and Tuesday, cloudy, yucky. Wednesday, Thursday, 30% chance of those days happening. Watch out for the apocalypse.
Something like that.
This is why I do sports. How much time do we have? Feels like it's going on pretty long.
Apparently too much time.
To be like, you should probably put me on camera one, no? I'd like to be alone. Thanks for joining us tonight. Today's Six on Your Side. You stay classy, Boise.
There you go. There he is. Channel 6 at Boise. Hey, since we have another minute left, Kevin, here's your favorite by request.
You know, a lot of people will tell you about the Dodge Durango's available Hemi V8 engine and 360 horsepower, but I'm the only one with the guts to tell you about the glove box. 0.1 cubic feet of storage, 12-volt light bulb, all in beautiful injection molded thermoplastic olefin. Comfortably fits two turkey sandwiches, six ball peen hammers, 70 packs of gums, 20 rulers. This thing goes on for inches. Starting to get the picture?
This is where he tries,
oh, yeah.
He tries to leave.
This glove box I've been talking about? It comes standard.
He's walking around.
He's stuck in the curtains. Can't get off the...
I know it's just a curtain, but I can't get out.
Ladies and gentlemen, the greatest human ever, Ron Burgundy.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind? That just happened.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52.
So, next half hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show, details on night number one of the 24th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Show. That'll be here before you know it. Plus, Mrs. Kevin is going to be joining us in studio. Now, she's here personally. Lapita's not coming down. Your assistant Linus is not coming down. Melissa herself is going to be here in person. Are you farming this one out?
None of those made-up characters will be here.
Oh, that's how you're telling. Anyway, it is annual Friends and Helpers time, so we'll tell you all about how you can do the right thing coming up. First, though, in for Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat, our old radio pal Larry Morgan. And joins us back in studio here on the Kevin
Meaning
and Bean Show.
We've been friends for a while, not that I'm ancient.
Of course.
Okay. Well, both can be true.
That's true.
Exactly.
Hey, you know,
Larry,
what? We're all the same damn age, people. Just calm down.
We don't see you very often, but thanks for filling in when the bat signal goes in the sky and Ralph needs a day off. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. I am the Robin to his Batman, I think.
All right. That's good luck with that.
That's why I'm wearing the tights. Hey, guess who's back? Brittany.
Bitch.
Brittany Spears?
Spears.
See what you did, Lisa?
Yes, I see what I did.
Wow.
Brittany, bitch.
She was very happy with herself, so I just had to acknowledge.
She sat there very smugly going, see what I contributed?
Smiling at Larry like, see?
Soon as everybody gets that, they're going to die.
You're the best. Well, just last night, as I was researching this very segment, Brittany posted a new ballad from her upcoming album, Brittany Jean. It's available for pre-order right now, and the song is called Perfume. I think we got a little of that right here.
So I wait for you to call, and I try to act natural, but you've been thinking about her, about me. And while I wait, I put on my perfume. Yeah, I want it all over you. I'm gonna mark my territory.
Yeah.
I know about marking your territory, and it's not with perfume.
No, according to Brittany, it's about how she wants the guy who seems to still be hung up on the ex-girlfriend to smell her perfume on him.
Okay.
That kind of marking territory.
If I'm Brittany, by the way, in the history that she's had with walking in and out of convenience stores barefoot and just living off Cheetos, I don't call attention to how I smell in a song. I stay away from that association. I don't know.
Yeah. Speaking of which, it wasn't, I kind of missed the running around the valley, getting a random tattoo and shaving my head.
Those were good days.
Yeah. Don't you think?
Because it was fun.
She was just sighted on Saturday at a field in Canoga Park watching her kids play soccer.
Oh,
that's
so
no fun.
Come on.
She's become a soccer mom. But she's going to mark her territory. It'd be a much better song if it was about peeing on
That's
somebody.
That's correct, yes. Yes, it would.
However, if we can't have a Britney rampage, we've got a Josh Brolin rampage to talk about.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God.
What happened?
Actor Josh Brolin, you guys know him,
of
right?
Of course.
Two different incidents in the same night. First started Friday around midnight when he rear-ended a cab while waiting in line to pay at a Del Taco drive-thru.
All right.
So I don't know what happened previous to that, but we're missing a segment of this story that got him to a Del Taco in the first place. But so he rear-ended the cab. He jumped out. The cabbie's trying to swap insurance information with him, and Josh Brolin gets mad at him and starts yelling about it's only a minor scratch. And this is all on video. Both of these incidents, of course, on video. Josh starts screaming, "You suck as a cab driver."
Really?
Oh, snap.
Because he was sitting there in a drive-thru window and somebody rear-ended him? That makes him bad?
At what point did he get to judge what a good or bad cab driver the guy might have been?
That's a bizarre thing to shout.
Yeah.
"You're not a very good person that drives."
Yeah.
And tell you that.
No F word, no nothing in there either.
Step it up.
So when the cab driver pulled forward to clear the lane, Josh Brolin took off. So A, hit and run. B, we go from there a couple hours later to O'Brien's Irish Pub in Santa Monica, where they're closing up, and apparently a very drunk Josh, not ready to call it a night. One of the bouncers gets him outside, and that's when the fun begins. Josh doesn't want to leave, and he starts. There's video of this. I guess it's a fight, but his arms are just kind of flailing around like one of
the
those,
rubber,
like those big inflatable things that they put in front of car dealerships. So finally, the bouncer tricks him into kind of hugging him, saying, "Hey, we were hugging earlier, dude." And he buys it, and everything gets better. They hug it out, except he doesn't want to get in the cab and runs off into the night.
What the hell
was
is going
never
on?
Seen again.
And no one has seen him since.
He and Diane Lane split up, and there were rumors, right? It was like a drinking thing?
I don't know. He's a hard partying guy. There was not too long ago another story of him. I forget exactly where it was. He was on location somewhere in New Orleans or something, another bar fight. So it's just it's just what he does. He also has a pretty big movie coming out in January called Labor Day with Kate Winslet. So I'm sure they'll be talking about that at the junket.
Sure.
This is not so much a story, but it is an observation. Julianne Hough wearing blackface last week
was a good idea.
Maybe the best thing she's ever done. I mean, how much were you talking about Julianne Hough before last week?
Not none.
Exactly. And now, as I was looking for stories last night and this morning, practically every celebrity outlet is putting a headline that says something along the lines of, "Hey, Julianne Hough wearing whiteface today," or
sure.
"Julianne Hough in no makeup today." That was a TMZ story where they just caught her coming out of a gym on Saturday saying, "Hey, look at her bare midriff and no makeup at all."
How about that? I want to get positive coverage for not offending people in one day. That's nice.
Well, you know this is going to start a trend now, and I don't know if it has to be Halloween or whatever, but it's going to be a series of celebrities who haven't gotten in the news lately. Suddenly they are, you know, pick your favorite character from The Wire or
exactly.
A Hitler trend. You
sure.
Just start, you know, putting on a swastika.
Just got to make enough people angry.
Yeah. So good on you, Julianne. Nice job. You guys watch the SNL on Saturday?
I did not.
Kerry Washington?
I haven't seen This Weekend's yet, but I'm excited to watch it because I do love me some Kerry Washington.
It got, you watch The Scandal, don't you,
I
Lisa
love,
May?
I love, that's my favorite
I
show.
Do too.
Yeah.
That's love
it. That is a show. Kevin?
No, I've never heard of it.
Okay. You had to have heard of it. It's apparently a very popular show on an actual network.
Okay.
But she and Eminem, actually, were on the show, and it has garnered really good ratings.
Really?
4.912 share, for whatever that means. But that's SNL's best result this season since March when Justin Timberlake was on. And they also addressed, not a controversy really, but the buzz that's been going on about the lack of diversity in the SNL staff and cast. They just hired a whole bunch of new people, and mostly white guys.
As usual.
Yes. So the whole opening sketch was, spoiler alert, Kerry Washington playing Michelle Obama. and then having to run out and dress up as Oprah and come back in again, and supposedly have to go out and come back as Beyonce, which she never did. And they also mentioned the fact that cast member Kenan Thompson had openly said he would no longer appear in drag on the show as kind of his form of protest of the lack of diversity.
That's quite
a
protest.
Lauren Michaels, hire a sister. That's basically what he
exactly.
said.
And also, one little nice touch is that they did bring in six white male cast members all doing Matthew McConaughey impressions.
All right. Can't have too much of that.
So I'm hoping to watch that today. Kevin, you didn't tune in for Eminem?
I didn't know he was on, yeah.
Okay.
I didn't
Have you heard the new album yet?
I have heard the new album.
And tell us about
dope.
It.
Dope. Yeah. It's awesome.
Really?
Watch it.
There's a song called Rhyme and Reason. Did he do that one on Saturday Night Live?
I don't remember.
Time of the Season Bean. They use that.
Oh.
Right. They did the zombie sample. I heard about that one.
He raps like Yoda. For like three lines. Eminem is doing a Yoda impression.
That's sweet.
It's awesome.
You gotta watch that. Box office over the weekend. It is a wimpy time at the movies right now. Ender's Game, based on the young adult series, the science fiction thingy, number one with 28 million. Bad Grandpa still near the top at number two with 20 million again this weekend. Number three was Last Vegas. I like to call that Grumpy Old Hangover. That made number three. Free Birds. Gravity's still going strong. They're actually kicking ass. They've made over $200 million. Captain Phillips, 12 Years a Slave, which is getting a ton of Oscar buzz at number seven. And Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, too. Carrie at nine, and The Counselor, which is a huge stiff at number 10. And happy birthday real quick to the aforementioned Matthew McConaughey. He's 44 today. Anybody got an impression since Ralph's not here? All right.
Just Bean. Only Bean.
Happy birthday to Sean P. Diddy, Puff Daddy, Moondoggy Combs, whatever his name might happen to be at the time. It's 44. Here's one that'll make you feel old. The Karate Kid, Ralph Macchio, is 52 today. Karate Kid.
But he's about the same age as Mr. Miyagi was when he made the movie.
Yep. Kathy Griffin's 53. Happy birthday to Kathy. Jeff Probst of whatever that show
Survivor.
Is.
Survivor.
There we go. 51. And Bethany Frankel of the Housewife.
Well, some housewife from some city.
She's 51. And that is your show business.
We're about 10 minutes away from details on night number one of the 24th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. I'm looking at the lineup. It's strong.
It is unbelievable.
Strong.
Unbelievable.
Two words. Strong.
This is, I know it's hard for people to believe because we just had Halloween, but it's November now, and that means the holidays are here. And once you start talking about acoustic Christmas, you start thinking about those people who may not have the greatest Christmas because of circumstances. And that's why we are always happy this time of year to welcome in Mrs. Kevin. Melissa joins us from friendsandhelpers.org. It's that annual time where she proves that she's better than the rest of us because she spends all of her time helping impoverished families. Hi, Melissa.
Oh, come on. Thank you.
No, I mean, seriously, I say that. It sounds like a joke, but it's unbelievable the work that you guys do with the people that you help every year. And I know,
how long you've been
running this charity now?
We have been running this charity for 21 years.
Insane.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's insane. And we only are able to do so because of the generosity of so many. We stand on the shoulders of giants. We are lucky people, and I'm here today to once again ask for the help of so many, because there are so many people who need help out there. And every year when I, you know, as we work on this, and it used to be that we worked on this for a month a year, a couple weeks a year, and now we work on this all year long.
Oh my gosh.
There are more and more people that need help. We have over 7,000 people who need holiday help this year, folks.
These are people that are victims of domestic abuse and most times have to run for their lives in the middle of the night. They don't have a job. They don't have money. They have nothing. And they go to these shelters and they ask them, like, if you could make a list of stuff that you want for Christmas for your kids or whatever so that we can help fulfill those wishes.
Right.
They'll put toothpaste.
Oh, well, and now
socks, you know.
It's basics. And now, you know, a lot of these kids, and something that I just want to address real fast, is a lot of these kids are teenagers. And, you know, being in high school and being a teenager, you know, Kevin and I have teenagers. The peer pressure is so intense. So providing a happy holiday for these families is a very important thing, especially because it helps everybody's self-esteem and helps with teen pressure. So we really want to try and make it so that the mothers feel good, the kids feel good. So it's a whole kind of full circle thing we're trying to accomplish. So that's why I'm here today. I want to talk to you about what our goals are and what we want to do in the very short amount of time that I have with you. We are going to be doing our Adopt-A-Family program. If you go on our website, friendsandhelpers.org, you can get a ton of information. We have families to adopt, as I mentioned, far, far too many, and we could have even more. So please help us by adopting a family.
I just want to butt in right here and say the families that we have gone to these shelters and asked each family specifically what they, the mom want, the kids want. So if you adopt a family, you'll know exactly what they want.
Excellent.
And then you can provide the holidays for that person, and 100% of what you do goes to that family.
That is correct. 100%. Kevin and I cover all the hard costs, so everything goes to the cause. You can go to our website and adopt a stocking or two or one, or just make any donation you're comfortable with. We're going to make over 5,000 stockings filled with candy. We have kids that only get a stocking. We have kids that only get a toy. So if you just want to go out and buy a set of Legos, great. We'll take that. We need gift cards. We have an enormous request for van shoes. I need van shoes. I don't know.
A lot of Weird Al fans out there.
A lot of Weird Al fans. Bean, is that you secretly going to shelters and filling out forms? Because, so that's a huge thing for us. I want to just ask a couple of quick questions of the listeners, because you guys always seem to know this. I need boxes, brand new boxes, to package up my families. Where are you box people?
Those are way expensive boxes.
They're way expensive.
You don't want to spend so much money on the box when they're really just going to toss it out.
I need help with that. I want to give a huge shout out to our friends at California Pizza Kitchen. You all are going there, KF Rock listeners. You're all eating there. They are the nicest people. They have been helping us with things, and I just want to say, like, California Pizza Kitchen, you are good people.
Awesome.
Thank you for loving us the way that you do.
Good to know.
And
this would have been more effective had you come in with some pizza, by the way.
That's true.
I'm going to get the message out there.
I'm with him.
Friendsandhelpers.org.
Yes.
So a lot of families in need. And by the way, one thing you said years ago, Melissa, that has always stuck with me is that oftentimes, maybe even most times, that what you give them for Christmas is the only gift they get for Christmas.
You know what, Bean? That's 100% true. Whatever people adopt a family, whoever goes online and makes a donation, buys a stocking, whatever you do, that's all that person is going to get. What Friends and Helpers does, we are what they provide. We make a women's bag with items. That's what they get. And that is very true. And I know I've shared with you guys that I was the victim of domestic abuse in my first marriage. I know what that is. See? You guys do it to me every time I hear.
Stupid bean.
Stupid bean.
I do.
Bean. I don't know. I'm just playing.
I think it's beer mug.
Bean, I hope you're online right now making a donation. Give it to me again.
Bean always does. Yeah.
So friendsandhelpers.org, you can adopt a family. You can adopt a stocking. You do make it so easy for however somebody wants to donate, because they can buy gift cards. They can buy toys. They can buy, you know, all sorts of things. You know, you just make it super easy. Easy for lots of different ways that you can contribute. And there's also an in-person angle again this year for folks who want to help you kind of wrap and box up this stuff and send it out, right?
Yes, you can come. If you go on our website, we have two great wrapping parties. We have drop-offs. I also want to mention we have amazing raffle and silent auction. There is a certain K-Rock show we have tickets to, and I have seats to the Lakers. I have, thanks to our friends at AEG, I have amazing things. Maybe you want to give us something to raffle or auction, but I've got some fabulous stuff. So you come to our events, you have a good time, you feel good, you can bring your kids, and you're helping people, you're changing the world. So
yeah, it's all up there on the website, and it all starts at friendsandhelpers.org. I know you've heard an awful lot of information here, but the key, the bottom line is lots of people have nothing and really need some donations, especially this time of year at Christmas time, because you want kids, especially little kids, to be happy. You want teenagers to have something. So go to the website.
I'd like to say one more thing, and that is the people who listen to our show are unbelievable.
Amazing.
Every year we do this, and the feedback is crazy, and people just seem like they really want to do good. They just need someone to point the way.
Yeah.
And they're super happy to do it. And it's really fantastic. And if this charity doesn't speak to you, another one will.
Should do that. If it's not ours, you should do something else. But I do want to say, as somebody who talks to so many of your listeners, first of all, I'm amazed how many you have and how much they love you all. And they say so many nice things about all of you. And I thank you all for this forum, because this is really generous. and it helps us so, so much.
All right. The 2013 Adopt a Family Holiday Program is up and running on the website right now. You can go and get more information. Please make a donation of time or money or whatever you can do. Friendsandhelpers.org. That is the website. And if you can't remember that, just remember krock.com or kevinb.com. And, of course, we do have a link up on our website as
Thanks.
Well. Melissa, you survived another year of being married to the monkey. Congratulations. That's its own kind of abuse.
Well, make there a donation gets. If you feel sorry for me.
Damn straight.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with night number one of the 24th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic.
I know.
Look, we know. It's just.
We know.
What? Welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Monday morning. UFC Fight for the Troops happens Wednesday night on Fox Sports 1. We are going to be talking to Liz Carmouche coming up in about 10 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, don't we have some business we need to attend to?
KROQ Pictures presents, in brilliant technicolor, the 24th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. Young Hollywood converges at the Shrine Auditorium. Evening 1, Saturday the 7th of December.
On the first day of Christmas, my true love sent to me.
Kings of Leon. Yeah!
Takes flight in Vampire Weekend.
Queens of the Stone Age. AFI.
K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Arctic Monkeys.
Numbers with Cage the Elephant. Come a little closer than you see.
Group Love. Oh, Foles.
New Politics. Slide, the 24th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. Evening number one. Jibble Chap. Exclusive K-Rock Street Team until Friday. Proceeds benefit para los niños. A Morse code will be intercepted with all the details on evening two next Monday.
Sorry, what's going on? What's happening?
Sorry, just getting some information that's conflicting. I love it. The 24th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, night one, Saturday, December 7th at the Shrine Auditorium.
May I interrupt for one moment
yes.
to say that there are some people who do not pay very close attention who right now are furiously begging out an email, why aren't you guys doing it at the Gibson? I always go see the show at the Gibson, and that place is the best. Well, dumbasses, the Gibson got torn down. We don't have that option anymore. We
could
do
it in Harry Potter world, though, I think.
Well, I guess we could do that. But the Shrine, by the way, is an awesome venue, too. It looks great and sounds great, and it's an unbelievable lineup. You know, I'm thinking as I'm listening to that, I think the top five or six bands on this bill could easily sell out the Shrine in a couple of minutes.
Yeah, I think so, too.
And they're all playing on one night. Night number one of the 24th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas is Kings of Leon, Vampire Weekend, Queens of the Stone Age, AFI, the Arctic Monkeys, Cage the Elephant, Group Love, Foles, and New Politics.
You have to be a Street Team member if you want to get in on the exclusive K-Rock Street Team on sale, which is Friday at noon.
Okay.
Friday at noon. It takes you a couple seconds to sign up. You get a password, and then Friday at noon you can buy those tickets. And you have to be a Street Team member to get in on that on sale Friday at noon. So there you go. 24th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic
amazing.
Christmas. Night one, Saturday, December 7th. Let's hear it one more time.
KROQ Pictures presents, in brilliant technicolor, the 24th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. Young Hollywood converges at the Shrine Auditorium. Evening 1, Saturday the 7th of December.
On the first day of Christmas, my true love sent to me.
Kings of Leon.
Bela Lugosi takes flight in Vampire Weekend.
Stone Age. AFI.
K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Arctic Monkeys.
Calling back to you. Never thought I'd call and wait.
members with Cage the Elephant. I'm a little closer than you see. Group Love. Foles. New Politics. The 24th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. Evening number one. Jab, old chap. Exclusive K-Rock Street Team until Friday. Proceeds benefit para los niños. A Morse code will be intercepted with all the details on evening two next Monday.
And that is Kings of Leon, and we just made the announcement a few minutes ago that they are playing the 24th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, night number one, along with Vampire Weekend, Queens of the Stone Age, AFI, Arctic Monkeys, Cage the Elephant, Group Love, Foals, and New Politics.
Nice!
Kings of Leon, by the way, is one of those bands who was great, and then they ran into so much internal discord that it looked like they might break up and never get back together. But they did, and they came back with their best album yet, and apparently they are just putting on amazing live shows right now. So I'm very excited to see the very powerful Kings of Leon heading the bill. It's Saturday night, December 7th at the Shrine Auditorium. Just announced the 24th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. Tickets go on sale for Street Team members this Friday at noon. You can get those complete details at krock.com. All right. Very excited about Wednesday night. UFC's Fight for the Troops, I want to say, is going to be in Kentucky at Fort Campbell there. And one of the acts on the bill is Liz Carmouche, who joins us on the phone right now, who's an actual real-life Marine. Hi, Liz. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show, my dear. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing good, fine. Thanks. Tell me about that. When did you sign up and join the Corps?
I joined the Marine Corps at 20 and got out at 25.
And you were involved in helicopter repair, as I understand, which is just a fascinating field. Can you tell me how you gravitated toward that?
I didn't gravitate towards it at all.
Okay.
In fact, I specifically said, under no circumstances do you give me anything to do with electricity, and that's exactly what I got.
Yeah, it's funny because they don't care a lot what you want, do they?
No, not at all.
So they assigned it to you.
Yeah, I was told, they're like, hey, you know, with your ASVAB score, you can do any MOS. So I was like, okay, I want to do recon. Well, you can't do that one because you're a woman. Okay, I want to do counterintelligence. Nope, can't do that one because you're a woman. Okay, then I want to go infantry. No, you can't because you're a woman. So I went, okay, well, what can I do as a woman? And then we'll narrow it down. Well, you have these five right here. I'm like, five, really? That's it?
By the way, I don't pretend to know anything about the military, but don't you want somebody as badass as Liz on the front lines? Don't you want her in the infantry? I do.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and back in the day, women weren't allowed in the infantry. Now, MOSs are opened up. At that time, though, women were stuck in very specific fields.
Tell us about the UFC Fight for the Troops. How's that going to work on Wednesday?
It's going to be great. I've been saying that being on the receiving end, having known the impact I had in my own life and boosting my morale and my coworkers and everybody that I worked with and knew, when people would come out and put on these shows, and now to be on that flip side is an amazing and humbling experience.
Yeah, I would imagine so. I mean, you can so easily look out at the crowd that's going to be watching you fight on Wednesday and go, hey, if this had happened a few years ago, that would have been me out there, you know, just being so grateful for a few minutes of entertainment. Now, you're going to be at the Sabre Airfield in Fort Campbell, Kentucky. You're raising funds for the Intrepid Fallen Heroes Fund, which is a great great charity for the armed forces there. And you are on the bill. And did you choose Alexis Davis, or was she also assigned to you, Liz?
Everything is assigned. I just go, okay, I'll do it.
They just say, here's what you're doing, and you say, okay.
Exactly. You know, at heart, I'm still a good Marine. Go do this. Okay. Are you going to ask me questions? Nope. Just doing what you tell me to do.
I guess that's one thing that gets pretty ingrained in your mind when you're in the service is, sir, yes, sir. I mean, that's pretty much all you need to ever know, right?
Exactly. Which also gets me in trouble. I tend to come back from things, so how was it? Oh, I just... Did you ask this? No. Did you check on this? No. You didn't tell me to do any of that. I just went and did exactly what you told me to do.
So, Liz, tell me about Alexis Davis. You've not fought her before. What do you know about her?
I know a lot about her. She's a really well-rounded fighter. She has multiple backgrounds. I mean, she has a black belt in jiu-jitsu and Brazilian jiu-jitsu. She has a Muay Thai background. She has a wrestling background. She is a tough fighter that never goes down easy. And with that said, she's also going to be a great opponent.
Are you the type of fighter that needs to work up some kind of anger against her, or you can just get in there and take care of business that night?
No, I don't need to at all. I can just, the moment I walk in that cage, it's about me finishing it. And that's the only thing that, it doesn't matter who they put in front of me. I'm just there to do my thing.
This is the voice of Liz Carmouche here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about the UFC Fight for the Troops, which is going to be Wednesday night on Fox Sports 1. By the way, when I was reading up on you this weekend, Liz, did I read correctly that you have, until fairly recently even, been teaching self-defense classes at near your home in San Diego?
That's absolutely correct.
That's cool.
Are you the best qualified person in history to teach self-defense? That's unbelievable that somebody would get to take a class from you, a UFC fighter, on how to defend yourself. How'd you end up getting into that?
Well, I took a lot of different self-defense classes growing up, and I've always felt like young women, it should be mandatory that in high school, in middle school even elementary, if you can get them to, that they have to take a self-defense course. And I've just been talking with the other gym owners and just saying, hey, you know, I'd really like to put this on. I feel like some of the women have expressed interest in learning self-defense, and I would love an opportunity to do this. I have a lot of different tools. I don't even know if 2 hours is enough for me to teach them everything. But I would love an opportunity to just help them out and make them walk away from this feeling more confident in their abilities.
And what's your one go-to move, the piece of advice you would give to ladies who are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show right now, if they find themselves in a sketchy situation and they've got, what's the one move they, every woman ought to kind of have in their arsenal to kind of get out of a situation like that?
Eye gouge.
Eye gouge.
That's a good one.
All right.
Man, I wish I hadn't asked.
Well, what did you think was going to be something nice and fun, Bean?
I don't want to think about an eye gouge. Wow. I wonder if that's something that most people even think of, unless, you know, you plant that in their brain. I mean, we're not usually taught to think, go for the eyes.
You know, in the self-defense seminar, before I even had an opportunity to teach someone eye gouge, she went for my eyes. So it's a reflex, and it's a good one at that.
How about that? All right, there's a little tip to take away from today's Kevin and Bean Show. UFC Fight for the Troops is going to be on Fox Sports 1. As we mentioned, it's going to be on Wednesday. You're going to be able to see Liz going up against Alexis Davis. Any thoughts before we let you go, Liz, if whether or not you've been watching The Ultimate Fighter this season? Any thoughts on Rousey versus Tate?
I haven't been. I actually don't watch television, so I'm just waiting for that end fight and the results.
You don't watch any television?
Only on Fight Week.
Wow.
How about that? You are a strange person, Liz. You are fascinating. All right, Liz, great to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show. We wish you the best of luck Wednesday night. And again, you should definitely go to UFC Fight for the Troops. Check it out online because there's lots of different ways that you can contribute to help the troops, too. There's an auction with all sorts of amazing UFC stuff that you can bid on if you want to raise some money for the troops and their care. And we really appreciate you coming on the Kevin and Bean Show. Great to talk to you. Good luck at the fight.
Thank you so much.
You bet. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. That is Vampire Weekend, another one of the bands playing the 24th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. All the details are up right now at krock.com if you'd like to see the bands Kings of Leon, Vampire Weekend, Queens of the Stone Age, AFI, Arctic Monkeys, Cage, The Elephant, Group Love, Foals, and New Politics. Tickets go on sale to street team members only Friday at noon.
And by the way, don't be scared off by street team members only. It takes like 30 seconds to sign up for the street team. It is free, and you just do that so you can get a password to buy the tickets. Go to krock.com for details. Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network joins us next hour to talk football. Also, we'll tell you how Beer Mug had the hardest phone call he's ever had to make in his life to make on Friday. And I think you're all going to enjoy his anguish very much.
Beer Mug Vic.
First, though, Ralph Garman is out for today. He will be back tomorrow. Our old radio pal, Larry Morgan, is filling in for the Showbiz Beat. But, Larry, before you tell us what's going on, we've been making fun. No, the music's fine. You can play the music. Right. We've been making fun so much of this Robert De Niro, Sylvester Stallone boxing movie, these 75-year-old guys that are going to be boxing each other. We've been
Why would you be making fun of that?
Because we've seen the trailer. And, by the way, if you're Sylvester Stallone, you're not allowed to play another boxer that's not Rocky, okay? And then you come in today and go, hey, guys, ask me about Grudge Match. No, I'm going to be in Grudge Match. Hey, look for me in Grudge Match.
That was not the conversation we had. I am in Grudge Match. I'm even in the trailer for Grudge Match, which has been
really?
Running in front of Gravity and Captain Phillips. So people are very excited about it.
I didn't see you. I was laughing too hard at the trailer.
Exactly. Well,
then we think it's going to be awesome.
I've actually seen the movie, and it's you will be surprised at how good it is.
Really? I'll tell you why we won't be surprised at how good it is. Because we're not going.
Even you?
Nope.
Even
you. You go to everything,
correct.
Kevin.
I go to everything.
You're going to see Delivery Man with Vince Vaughn, and you're not going to see Grudge Match?
That is correct, yes.
Not
so
a
when does that open, Larry?
On Christmas Day, baby.
Okay. All right. You got Larry Morgan's Grudge Match on Christmas Day.
De Niro, Stallone, Morgan, and Kevin Hart and Alan Arkin.
Well, good luck with that. All right, really let's take a look at the Showbiz Beat here for a Monday morning Kevin and Bean show. What's going on?
No. I hate all you people. just like how the holidays seem to come earlier every year, so does awards season, because they've added a new one. How many of you watched the YouTube Music Awards last night?
Ooh. I regret that I did not, now that I have read about it.
Yeah, okay. Well, how did we not know about it? Because usually YouTube promotes the crap out of everything.
I think we knew.
We had
a heads up, but I didn't have any interest.
Well, it streamed live, and that made it a little bit, as it was described by several people, weird and or chaotic.
Okay.
Or taken a different way, disorganized and just completely out of control. But because they don't have those network TV constraints, they could kind of do anything they wanted to, and apparently did. It was hosted by Jason Schwartzman and Reggie Watts. There was crying babies, a faked double suicide, face painting, a makeup-free Lady Gaga in plaid and a trucker's cap. And that's just scratching the surface.
Wow.
Right there.
They went out of their way to brag, hey, this is YouTube. We're the new frontier. We're not sticking to all those crazy scripts that they have on TV.
Right.
So they were doing everything they could, Kevin, to kind of surprise whoever was involved in the show. Like, for instance, Jason Schwartzman and Reggie Watts, as Larry mentioned, were hosting the thing, and they were supposed to announce a winner. And instead of being handed an envelope, a table comes out with five cakes on it with a note that says, the winner's in the cake. So now they have to start digging in these cakes to try to pull out a piece of paper with the winner's name on it. Like, for no reason, just because it's hauled up.
Not, yeah, wacky, right?
That doesn't sound fun.
Rashida Jones walks on at one point and hands both of them actual living babies. And they're just standing there stuck with babies, and they got to deal with. So,
who gives them their babies?
It was crazy.
apparently,
best gift bag ever at this thing. Live babies. But here are the winners. Video of the year went to Girls' Generation, I Got a Boy.
Now, they are a very popular Asian band, Korean, I want to say.
Looking around the room to see recognition from anyone. I'm so happy I'm not the only one. Here's someone you know, Artist of the Year, Eminem. Thank God.
All right.
He did Rap God on the show, as a matter of fact. YouTube phenomenon, Taylor Swift's I Knew You Were Trouble won over Harlem Shake and Gangnam Style, which you would think as a phenomenon on YouTube would have definitely one of those would have picked it up.
Well, I think part of the problem here, Larry, and we talk about this with a lot of award shows, is this is what happens when you let the people vote.
Yeah, when you let the actual fans actually vote for something, it gets all honked up. So forget about it. So there you go. YouTube Music Awards, first annual in the books. Hey, Courtney Love is back. Yay!
All right!
She's featured on the cover and in a new wide-ranging interview in Fashion magazine, and she's currently writing her autobiography.
Can't wait.
Which, if she actually remembers everything, should be really interesting.
Yes.
Also recording a new album. Can't wait. And admits while the past few years have been kind of turbulent, she's hoping that Hollywood will forgive her. This is a quote. She says, listen, if Natasha Lyonne, one of the stars of Orange is the New Black, can burn down a house and Robert Downey Jr. can go to prison for 2 years, I deserve a second chance. I know there is hope for me.
Second chance, 100th chance. Larry, have you interviewed Courtney in your long, illustrious radio career?
No, I actually ran into her and, is it Bean, the daughter?
Francis, right?
Francis Bean, over by LACMA one day, and I'd said something, and they were very pleasant, actually.
But we've had her on a million times, as you can imagine, at K-Rock.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I've heard every one.
Been a big deal. And we enjoy her so much, but man, is she tough to wrangle.
Yeah.
She is just tough to keep going in a straight line. I can't, and she's got to have a great editor in order to make this book readable.
Yeah, I kind of want to, I already want to read it, like Lisa May said, because here's a quote from what she talks about in the book. Apparently, she says that she still gets hit on by guys because they want to be cast in the Kurt Cobain biopic that's been in production for years. She says, I could give you some actors' names that would blow your mind, but I am so not sleeping with someone under 38. How random is that?
Okay.
Apparently, the working title for the album is Dyed Blonde, D-I-E-D, Blonde.
Ooh, see?
See what she did there?
See?
And working title for the book is Last Ditch Standing. Hey, Justin Bieber went to a whorehouse. Yay!
Yay!
In Brazil, he was apparently seen at coming out of a brothel called Centauros in Rio de Janeiro.
Write that down, Kevin.
Make a note.
Yeah, I was going to say, prostitution's legal in Brazil, right, Kevin?
Why do you think I would know?
Come on. As they were leaving the cat house, Bieber's security team allegedly sprayed photographers with water because that's going to stop them from taking pictures. But you can see the tattoo that Bieber's well-known having on his upper wrist in the photo. So, yeah, he's 19. He can do what he wants, I guess. And then he got hit by a water bottle the next night at his show in Sao Paulo. Walked off the stage, made a lot of people mad, but apparently the show was almost over anyway, so people are making a big deal out of that. He did at one point kick the Brazilian flag.
All right.
Well, that's not going to go over.
You know
what not to do in Brazil.
Yeah. Kendall Jenner turned
out of time. Out of time, Larry. Have to save it.
All right.
Really?
You'll never get that
Kendall
again.
Kendall Jenner,
story?
Wait. Was
that's
that the porn?
The yes.
Wait, that was the porn story?
No, I'll go to birthdays if you want. Or I'll just wrap it up if you don't want to talk about Kendall Jenner and porn.
Yeah, you've heard his feelings, Bean.
Happy birthday, Matthew McConaughey. He's 44 and celebrating by actually wearing a shirt today. Puff Daddy, 44, or whatever his name is now. Ralph Macchio, the Karate Kid, is 52. Kathy Griffin, friend of the show, I know, 53 today. Jeff Probst, 51. I am Larry Morgan in for Ralph Garman. Grudge Match opening Christmas Day. From Warner Brothers.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. I have seen that band, Queens of the Stone Age, maybe 6 or 7 times. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how they do it, but they literally turn the volume up louder than any band that has ever existed. Every time you hear them, it's earth-shattering. Yeah. It's just
so
awesome.
They are not quiet?
They are not quiet, and they are not going to be playing acoustic. But they will be playing the 24th Annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas on Saturday, December 7th. You can get all the details at krock.com.
Great lineup again this year. And by the way, I know it seems crazy that we're talking about Acoustic Christmas already, but this show is only 5 weeks away, and tickets are going on sale this Friday at noon for K-Rock Street Team members. Again, as Kevin mentioned, krock.com. We had a very tragic thing happen on Friday that we did not talk about on the air because it was very painful, very raw, because something bad happened to Beer Mug, and not in a funny way. Beer Mug hit a dog on his way into work on Friday morning. And if you've ever – thank God that's never happened to me, but if you've ever been in that situation – it's a terrible thing to go through.
Oh, yeah.
You wouldn't wish that on anybody.
No, of course not.
But what I do think is funny is that Beer Mug is the wrong guy to be handed the responsibility of what to do next, isn't he?
Yes. I mean, he was waiting until after the meeting to call the people who owned the dog, as it did have a collar on it.
Well, he did stop and check to see if the dog was breathing.
Yes.
So he did
then he
that.
Stole its wallet and anything that was of any value.
And he did now, try to call.
Now, Muggs, I want to ask you about this because if I'm Joe dog owner and my dog is missing and I wake up on Friday morning and Fido's gone, I really am starting to panic because my dog is gone. I have no idea where he is. I would want that information as soon as possible. Yet you called at 5 a.m. and got the voicemail and did not leave a message. How come?
I wanted to kind of deliver the news to another person on the other end is just rather than, hey, this is, you know, I hit your dog today. Sorry. Bye.
He was really broken up by it. You know? And I'm only laughing at that because just on Friday, if you could have seen Muggs.
I walked in and I saw his face. I was like, what?
He was just moping and super depressed.
We were all bummed out. It was a horrible thing.
And then after the show, we started thinking about what a terrible storyteller he is and how that phone call was going to go. He's going to call the dog owner and go, hey, remember you guys used to have a dog? And we just started thinking about it. Like that is impossible news to deliver in a good way, no matter what.
Yeah. Yes.
But
yes.
If you're Muggs.
Yeah, if you've got Aaron Sorkin writing it for you, it's difficult news to deliver. What kind of story is Muggs going to spin to talk? And imagine being the person the other. Look, we've all heard Muggs try to tell a story.
Right.
Imagine being the poor person on the end of the phone who's getting this horrible news and trying to decipher what the hell happened based on what Muggs is saying.
So this morning I got in my car and I was driving on the freeway. And there were some cars behind me, but not very close. You know what? There were a lot of cars behind me. He was going like that. And the guy's on the other end going, what is happening? happening? Why is this person talking?
Have you tried Rogaine? Because look what it's done for me.
Not so me, Muggs. But a buddy of mine.
So, Muggs, so Friday, I know you were really dreading having to make that call. Did you call him?
So the show ended, and I called back the number on my way home, hands-free, of course, in the car.
Oh, good. I'm glad you did it from the car so you could give it your full attention.
Hands-free.
Right.
But it went straight to voicemail again. Just straight to voicemail. No ringtone.
Anything. Now, I want to ask you a question. Yes. Because Bean's point was that really he would want that information so that he's not going out of his mind. Right. Did you leave a message? On the way home.
I did not leave.
Did not.
On the
way. Okay, good.
But here we go. Here we go.
So you're trying to torture good. This family as long as possible because now the reason they didn't answer the phone is because they're out putting signs up all over the neighborhood hoping somebody will find their dog because you have the information about their dog and you're not sharing it.
So that didn't work the second time around. So I let a little couple hours go by and Friday evening I called back. What do you know? Straight to voicemail.
Mm-hmm.
So I left a message. I left the message. I said, listen, I'm trying to contact you all day. This morning, I found your dog on the freeway, happened to run out in front of my car, and unfortunately, he's in doggy heaven.
Did you say doggy heaven?
I did say doggy heaven.
All right.
I said, and you know, I'm very sorry for your loss, and I'm sorry to have been a part of it. Yeah. And I hung up.
So, did you end with the word yeah?
Did it fade?
I'll bet you did. I bet it's something you would say. Myself.
No, I didn't say yeah.
I don't like to hit dogs.
No, I didn't say yeah.
Okay.
I am a drummer.
Just in my recap. So I was like, I still kind of felt unsatisfied because I still wanted to
break the news in person?
Well, yeah. I wanted to talk to the person and tell them,
what if they cry and I don't get to know about it?
Well, I said, I'm really sorry. I wanted to kind of have like a sympathetic person on the other end, not just like, oh, my dog died in vain or whatever.
Right.
So
the
Saturday
dog didn't
morning,
die in vain if you could talk to him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Saturday morning, I wanted to actually follow up. I was studious.
So now you're stalking this poor family.
So I drove over to their house.
I didn't have their address. All that was on the dog's collar was the phone number.
Muggs, we're not going to be able to do this story in real time.
Okay.
As this was a weekend.
Right. So I called back on Saturday. And once again,
voicemail.
So I feel I'm off the hook.
Well, they had a number. They could have called him back.
They never called me back.
Yeah.
I was literally stalking them, like Bean said. So I feel that I did my due diligence, and I tried to get in contact with them, and I didn't get a hold of them.
You know, they could be on vacation and out of the country, and their phone doesn't work, and someone was dog sitting or something. You don't know.
By the way, the one thing I do know, Muggs, and I learned this as a kid, is what you want to hear is that the dog went to live on a farm. That's what you want to hear. Not that the dog ended up under your tires.
So I tell the person, oh, your dog went to a farm when it ran onto the freeway?
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Got to put a positive spin on doggy heaven,
Muggs.
Got it.
Got it.
All right. He's the wrong guy with any delicate information.
So really is. Now, like, do I ever follow up again?
I think you should call every day until you get
I'm
hold of
the hook, right?
No, I think you should call every day. For 100 days straight, if that's what it takes.
Look, I call
them. And then go and sit out in front of their house and wait and tell them, I like beets.
I don't even know where the house is. They didn't have an address on the call.
Well, you're not doing your job. You need to really step it up.
Recently, there was a death in our family. He was a little dog named Snuggles. But he was most certainly a part of... Let's go start again. See, when you come out of those up-tempo goddamn numbers, man, it's impossible to make those transitions. And then you got to go into somebody dying.
This is Beer Mug on Friday.
You know, they do this to me all the time. I don't know what the hell they do it for, but goddamn it, if we can't come out of a slow record, I don't understand it. Is Don on the phone?
Get Don on the phone.
Okay, I want a goddamn concerted effort to come out of a record that isn't a f***ing up-tempo record every time I do a goddamn death dedication. Now, make it, and I also want to know what happened to the pictures I was supposed to see this week. This is a last goddamn time. I want somebody to use his brain to not come out of a goddamn record that is that's up-tempo, and I got to talk about a dog dying.
I think you got the message across, Muggs. Well done. Hey, it's Andrew Siciliano, host of Around the League Live on the NFL Network and DirecTV's Red Zone. All right, Anderson, that's fine. We got it.
That is the best, hands down.
Okay. Anderson Cooper, stop it. We got to move on. What's happening right now?
All right, come on. Let's talk about the NFL.
What is this? What is
you don't
that?
Know this?
No, what is
oh
that?
My God.
That's Anderson Cooper laughing. He lost it.
He got
on his
he
show.
Got the giggles on the air.
Evidently,
couldn't stop.
Yeah,
couldn't
it's
stop.
The
it was
best.
Awesome.
Hey, Andrew,
and
what's
that
going
is giggling.
Buddy?
Good
yes,
morning.
Yes, he giggled.
That is giggling.
Good morning.
So
I
where
listen
do
to Casey
we...
Kasem every day, by the way.
I know.
Best. And by the way, that's a very fitting tribute to Kevin, to a man who's like 1 minute away from death, too, by the way.
Oh,
that's how
he?
We want to remember him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, I
very
know this.
Where do we even begin, Andrew?
Know.
We might as well begin with the most recent unbelievable game of the weekend, which was last night. Please describe for folks what Sunday Night Football was all about this week.
All right. So the Texans are bad. They were supposed to go to the Super Bowl. They're bad.
Right.
They have benched their quarterback. Their coach could get fired. Everything is falling apart, yet they still have this amazing defense. They handed the ball to this quarterback, Case Keenum, a couple of weeks ago, who was undrafted a couple of years ago, like in one of these college offenses that puts up 900 points a game, but no one believes he could play in the NFL. Well, he's leading the Colts like 21-0 yesterday.
That's what I saw. And I looked at it and I thought, there's no possible way that I'm actually looking at the Texans being up 21-0 on Indianapolis.
Now, granted, a couple of weeks ago, we would have said, yes, that's possible, because we thought they were going to the Super Bowl back in August. And then their coach collapsed at halftime. And Gary Kubiak this morning is okay. He's still in the hospital in Houston. They think he might have had a stroke. We don't know yet.
Oh.
That's developing as we go. But the game goes to the half, and he puts, the coach does, his hands over his head, and this is a guy that's in shape. We're not talking like a 300-pound coach here. We're talking one of the, if not the most fit coach in the NFL.
Wow.
Puts his hands over his head and falls to his knees.
Wow. And they thought it might have been a stroke. It was stroke-like symptoms, but now they're saying it wasn't a stroke or a heart attack.
Now there's a report out there that he's taking, and I'm not a doctor here, but some kind of medication that you often give stroke victims.
Okay.
So, whatever. He's okay. We hope he's okay. And they had to take him off the field at halftime on a gurney. I mean, the team's running to the locker room, and he can't run. He just falls.
Wow.
And then the team afterwards loses. The Colts have this amazing rally, and Andrew Luck brings them back because they're the better team. And afterwards, you rarely ever hear this. The team actually said, yeah, that's why we lost. I mean, we're not blaming our – I mean, we're with the man. We hope he's okay.
Right.
But we just weren't the same. And you can understand why we weren't.
Yeah.
We had no idea what's going on.
They all go through the same training, which is all teams have injuries, and we're not going to blame any loss on any injury of any player, but this is different.
This is so different.
Yeah.
And it comes a day after John Fox, the Broncos coach, who the Broncos have the week off. He's back in Charlotte where he used to live and coach, playing golf, feels dizzy, take him to the hospital, and the doctor says, hey, you know that aortic valve replacement that you've been putting off for a while?
Oh.
Yeah. You got to do that.
Might want to get right to
now.
That. Wow.
So could have done it maybe last summer, hoping to do it after the season. You need to do it now. So John Fox, coach of the Broncos, 7-1 on a roll, maybe going to the Super Bowl, has to take time off, and they're thinking maybe a month, maybe 6 weeks, but really nobody knows. And Jack Del Rio within the last hour, SC's Jack Del Rio, former coach of the Jaguars, who's the Broncos' assistant, has been promoted as expected, and he will take over in the time for the time being.
Speaking of the health of coaches, you know what my big surprise yesterday was? Is that John Madden is still alive. He was in the stands at the Raiders game yesterday. No, I only say that because, A, he's got to be in his 70s, late 70s probably, maybe early 80s, I don't know. But we have seen so little of him since he left the booth that it just was kind of shocking to see him on my TV again.
You know, he does the satellite radio thing on the NFL channel, and he does it once a week.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Does he still do it this year? He did for many years, up until at least last year. I think he still does something this year. And he is still as entertaining as he has ever been.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that.
Love the guy. His Hall of Fame speech, by the way, like 8-9 years ago, is still one of the best Hall of Fame speeches ever, where he stood there and said, the busts, you know, the busts what you get when you get to the Hall of Fame. I'm convinced that at night, when you turn the lights off, they all sit there and talk to each other.
That's right.
And it's still like that power soundbite.
How little did he enjoy watching that Eagles-Raiders game, though, yesterday?
Oh, come on. 7 touchdowns. Oh, yeah, against the Raiders.
Against the Raiders, yeah.
I don't know how the heck that happened. I mean, let's try to put that in perspective. The Raiders had given up 7 touchdown passes all year. Your Eagles quarterback, who many thought was, look, he's shown some promise, but most people agreed last week. The consensus opinion was the Eagles do not have their quarterback for next year currently on their roster. They're going to get rid of all of them.
They're going to have to go out.
He threw 7 touchdown passes in 40 minutes of football. He still had a quarter plus to go. So he tied the NFL record. He had more touchdown passes than incompletions.
Wow.
Like, if you drew up, like, on game day morning on NFL Network every morning, they do bold predictions on Sunday morning. Like, just the most outrageous throw it against the wall, and there's no way it's going to happen prediction. But if it happens, then we look good.
Right, of course.
No one in there. If you had said Nick Foles was going to throw 7 touchdowns, you would have been fired.
Quarterback controversy? Is there one in Philadelphia now?
Mike
what happened?
Vick is not getting his job back.
He's not coming back, right?
Well, I mean, if he's got a hammy. Let's say he's back in a week or two. There is no way on earth that you bench the quarterback that just had quite possibly the greatest day in the history of the game during the regular season.
That's crazy. Foles had more quarterbacks yesterday, more throws yesterday than Michael Vick had quarterback
touchdowns all
year long. Right? Yeah,
he threw more touchdowns yesterday than Vick has thrown all year. Like, I think four of the 5 guys who had done it before are all in the Hall of Fame. And it hadn't been done. Peyton did it week 1 against the against the Ravens, but it hadn't been done before that in like 40 years.
Wow.
Crazy times yesterday in the NFL. Yeah. Our guest is Andrew Siciliano, along with Casey Kasem here on the Kevin Amici Show. Around the League Live is his show on the NFL Network and, of course, DirecTV's Red Zone. We'll take a break. Come back more with Andrew right after this on the world famous.
Hello, 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, and we are playing all music from bands that are going to be playing night number 1 of the 24th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
I'm sorry to say, Andrew Siciliano, the Dave Matthews Band, unavailable for us this year.
Come on.
But we do have a great lineup, and I understand you have not heard it yet, and maybe many of our listeners just waking up have not heard that Kings of Leon is playing this year on night number 1. How about Vampire Weekend? Queens of the Stone Age, AFI, the Arctic Monkeys, Cage the Elephant, Woo-hoo. Group Love, Foles, New Politics. It's a hell of a lineup. Just announced this morning, exclusive K-Rock Street Team sale. On sale is going this Friday at noon, so just go to krock.com and sign up. And the concert is going to be on Saturday night, December the 7th, at the Shrine. There's no more Gibson anymore. We have to kiss those years goodbye, but the Shrine is where we're going to be for Saturday, December 7th. Keep listening for details on night number 2. Good stuff.
Very cool.
All right, let's talk some more NFL, shall we?
Do it.
What was the biggest surprise for you other than last night?
Ah, the biggest surprise. All right, so the fact that the Bucks, Bean, were up 21-0 on the Seahawks. The Seahawks have not lost a home game since Christmas Eve 2011. They
Wilson is 12-0 at home as a starting quarterback.
Yes, and in most people's eyes, they are the best team of the NFC, if not the best team in football. And Tampa's so last time we saw Tampa, we legitimately thought their coach was going to get fired the next morning. They lost on Thursday Night Football on NFL Network. They got blown out at home. The stadium was empty. It was one of those games where you couldn't show the wide shot because there was no one there.
Oh, that's rough.
And then as the game progressed, it got worse and worse and worse and worse. The coach was asked directly on the podium after the game, "Have you lost this locker room? I mean, should you still be here?"
Wow.
And then they go up there and they almost beat the Seahawks.
Look, here's the funniest thing I learned about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers before yesterday's game is they were 0-7 going into the game, and that was their 5th worst start in history.
What?
Yeah, they have a bad history.
Well, Kevin, they had an 0-14 season back in 1976. Sweet. They had several 0-9 starts. They've been 0-7 before, and they were 0-7 yesterday. Now they're 0-8. But, yeah, I mean, look, this is a famous thing in sports that we've heard about our whole lives, which is that people play down to the level of their opponent.
Like the Cowboys.
Right, exactly, exactly. And this just looks entirely like the Seahawks are, you know, high on their own hype, and they go, "Hey, we're 7-1. We don't even need to try. We should be able to beat these guys with our hands behind our backs." So that's the attitude that they have going in, and then the next thing they know, they get out on the field and they go, "Oh, wait a minute, this team's a professional football team also. I guess we are going to have to put up some effort."
Yeah, they're still better. They should have blown them out.
Right.
I mean, they're still better. They're still better, and the Bucs had to travel all the way across the country, and they had a week off, and they were embarrassed last time. But the greatest, and you're right, they play down like the Cowboys do to the Vikings. The greatest Bucs quote ever, the legendary John McKay, when head coach of the Bucks was asked, what do you think of your team's execution? And he said, I'm all for it.
So 21 points is the greatest comeback in Seahawks history.
The greatest comeback in Seahawks history. Wow. Correct.
But what, even having said everything you said about both teams, did you think there was a chance they were going to come back from that, Andrew?
I did.
That's a pretty deep hole to
look,
be in.
When it's 21 to nothing, you assume, in the National Football League, you assume when it's 21 to nothing, the game's over.
Right.
Because like you said, they're professionals on both sides.
Right.
You're not supposed to blow this. But once it got to 21 to 7, I turned to the people in the studio and I said, there's no way the Seahawks are going to lose this game. I didn't say it on the air, so I'm sound like,
oh, well,
not like
then
you guys
I
took
said
it back.
Too. Then I said it too. Oh, I said it.
Because they're the better team.
Agreed.
And once, Bean, you've been in that building.
Yes.
Once the momentum shifts in that building. It's the same building where when Marshawn Lynch a couple of years ago in the playoffs had that ridiculous touchdown run, it registered on the Richter scale. I'm not kidding.
I think Seattle might be one of, if not the best sports cities in America.
I have never been to a baseball game there or a soccer game there, but I'll tell you that building for football, look, the Seahawks will likely have home field advantage in the NFC. That's their only goal. Keep home field advantage. If they do, nobody will win in Seattle. If they are the number one seed, they are going to the Super Bowl. The Niners can't win there. They give up 50 points when they're there.
Wow.
Andrew Siciliano on the air with us here on the Kevin Amin Show from Around the League Live on the NFL Network, which, by the way, is celebrating its 10th anniversary today.
Yes, sir. Happy
Andrew,
birthday.
Thank you for that tip. And let me ask you about one more thing, because this is one of those great stories that has spilled over from the sports pages into regular conversation, and that, what the hell is going on in the Dolphins locker room?
So this one, we need a couch for this one. But
this
the bare bones is this. Jonathan Martin, who's an offensive lineman, big dude, 300 pounds, big, bright dude who went to Stanford, second-round pick last year of the Dolphins. He gets up last week, throws down his cafeteria tray, and leaves the team.
And says?
Well, as the story progresses throughout the week, he's just fed up with his teammates. And the word bullying is tossed around. Harassment, all these other words to describe an uncomfortable work environment.
Mm.
He has left the team. Late last night, the Dolphins suspend the alleged troublemaker, Richie Incognito, the guy that he plays next to on the offensive line, by the way, who has a history of being a troublemaker.
Now, is that his real name or just some made-up Twitter name? Richie Incognito.
That is his stage name only. And, I mean, he was, a couple of years ago, voted the dirtiest player in the league. He has tried to, you know, present this image of a reform guy or reform player over the years. This is a fascinating conversation because there are allegedly now, it comes out yesterday, texts and voice messages from Incognito to Jonathan Martin that may have had racial overtones. It could get really, really ugly. Now, the average guy here is going to say, wait a minute, it's locker room fun. It's pranks.
The NFL.
You got a bunch of 300-pound guys making fun of each other. This guy can't take it. But I guarantee you some of the stuff that comes out will cause that same person or your average fan to say, wait a minute, that probably crossed the line. Now, over the years, it's kind of a rookie thing. Dez Bryant of the Cowboys had it a couple of years ago. We talked about it.
Yeah.
It burned up the radio. Hey, rookie, pay my bill. It's what you do. You take them to the rookie dinner. You make the rookies pay the $30,000 dinner tab, as nuts as that sounds. But this supposedly went far, far, far beyond that.
Aren't the Dolphins just happy to have something to talk about other than their season?
But look, they won. Here's the thing. They won Thursday night with that overtime game. The safety, a game hadn't ended like that in a decade. I mean, their season has been saved. Now this. And they're going to be lawsuits. It's going to get ugly.
They did the right thing by cutting him from the team then, right?
No, he's been suspended. He's not been cut. Incognito has been suspended. Jonathan Martin is allegedly back here in California with his family. He may or may not be undergoing treatment or seeking counseling. There are varying reports about that. But either way, he's not there. And it's going to get like the high school bullying thing that we talk about so much these days. It's going to be an NFL locker room between millionaires. And it's going to be a fascinating conversation.
All right, our remaining 15 seconds, because we're running very late with our friend Andrew Siciliano. Beer Mug will have his legs broken tonight if the Packers do not cover the spread against the Bears. What are his chances?
I don't even know what the number is. What is it?
Ten.
Ten?
I like the Bears.
Okay.
Bears! That's all we wanted to hear.
Yeah.
For recreational purposes,
of course,
only.
Obviously.
Performance is not necessarily indicative of future gain.
Right. You have to say all that because you don't gamble. He is an idiot, and he gambles.
Never
He's
placed
indeed.
A bet
Too
in
much.
My life. It is
He's
the greatest
in
rivalry
deep.
In sports, and the Bears will put everything they have, which isn't
That's
enough.
All we wanted to hear. That's all we wanted to hear. All right. Look for Andrew this afternoon at 3 on Around the League live on the NFL Network and, of course, the Red Zone on DirecTV every Sunday. Thanks, man.
Good night.
AFI, one of the bands playing the 24th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, night number one, Saturday, December 7th at the Shrine Auditorium is Kings of Leon, Vampire Weekend, Queens of the Stone Age, AFI, Arctic Monkeys, Cage the Elephant Group, Love Fools, and New Politics.
Arctic Monkeys, you
Arctic.
Said. Right, okay.
They Did
said
I say Arctic?
I think you said Arctic.
I could have, yeah.
Okay.
If you want to buy tickets to be a K-Rock Street Team member, please, you can sign up at KRock.com to get the password. They go on sale this Friday at noon. Hey, that's the voice of Ted Stryker in for Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat this hour. And next, hey, Ted.
Good morning, Bean, Kevin, and Lisa May.
Good morning.
What's going on?
Well, it was one of the best weekends ever that I had because I never have communication with Kevin or Bean. If I do, it's very rare. I had communication with Bean over the weekend on Twitter.
Really?
But I comment on a lot of Bean's tweets. Bean tweeted a picture of a maple leaf. And he said, look how big the maple leaf is. So I tweeted back.
What would you respond
Did you
to
tweet
that?
Back, who gives a damn?
No, I said, I love leaves. No, and I got nothing.
I like it.
But so on Saturday night, I tweeted, I wonder if Bean is going crazy because daylight savings is trending on Twitter.
Yeah, it drives him crazy.
I got a response for that.
Yeah, because that drives him crazy. You
hate,
know that.
Hate,
it does.
Hate.
And then Kevin and I
spent all weekend writing strongly worded letters to people who were misusing daylight saving, by the way.
Everybody was using it, Bean.
Good use of your time.
Yeah, it was real good.
And then if you
Bean's a daylight savings asshole!
If you add up all the amount of minutes I've talked to Kevin in my life, it does not equal the amount of minutes I talked to him consecutively Saturday night.
What were you talking
about? We were at a Halloween party.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I was a zombie and Stryker was
a cowboy.
Like a cowboy.
A cowboy
and Indian. When you're four, he had like a straw hat, a little cap gun. Okay. I don't know, he just looked a little special needs.
So, Kevin, I was very nervous to see you today because, you know, our conversation after 2 minutes was, so, how'd you like working in Phoenix?
Yeah,
And then we were sitting, so, are we fine?
We're good.
Okay.
We're all good.
Because I like you even more after talking to you.
Take it easy.
All right, here we go. Here's some news now. Courtney Stodden.
Yes.
Nobel?
No.
She is a train wreck.
You'd
think the parts would add up to something hot, but she's so crazy that it just doesn't.
Explain the age difference, please, before you move on with the story.
Well, she was 16 when she started going out with Doug Hutchison. And he was, I don't know how old exactly, 15. He was like
51
years old.
And 16.
And it was so obvious that relationship was going to work. And they got married and everything was fine, and now they are done. So anyone listening, you can go after Courtney Stodden right now. You got to be at least what? I don't know, Lisa May. You think you got to be at least 48?
Yeah, I would definitely say that.
And you know the rule if you're a guy for dating a girl younger than you, right? It's half your age plus 7, then that's okay.
No, I didn't know the rule.
So if you're 50, you can go out with a girl that's 32. That's how that works.
Oh, you do math fast.
Thank you very much.
So I can go out with a 70-year-old is what you're telling me.
That's correct.
according
to his math.
Bean, there's a lot of 7-year-olds that would gobble you up. Miley Cyrus was possibly smoking weed. We saw those pictures on Halloween. But she was also, and this is according to the UK's Daily Mail, that she was making out with Benji Madden from Good Charlotte. Now, Benji Madden, he's got tattoos and he looks like he's in good shape now. Benji Madden now has made out with Miley Cyrus, Sophie Monk, Holly Madison, and Paris Hilton.
Wow.
He's got a great resume.
All right.
It's pretty good.
But he's not going in the right direction, I'll tell you that.
He's not using my math system here, Bean.
That's correct.
At all. Kate Upton.
Apparently, Kevin already knows this, but go ahead.
All right. She apparently is dating Maxim Chmurlyuyevsky from Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. Her parents aren't very happy about it. The National Enquirer says Kate Upton's parents say that Maxim, how do you say his name? I have no idea. Who do you
don't
want?
Know.
Don't know.
I think it's Maxim. I think it's
Maxim.
Just Maxim.
Is it Maxim?
Yeah.
Is he one of the professional dancers?
Yes, he's a professional.
Right. Okay.
His body is excellent,
I'm sure.
I think. So is Kate Upton. Anyway, the parents do not want her dating him because he's a love him and leave him kind of a guy.
I'm available, that's why.
Kevin, you can't date her.
I'm not really available, but I mean, I will be.
All right, I'm going to be giving away prizes in the 9 o'clock hour for a great movie, The Hunger Games. Celebrating a birthday today is Doris Roberts from the great movie Grandma's Boy, Kathy Griffin.
That's going to be my next lady right there, Doris Roberts.
That just works with my math thing there. Kathy Griffin is 53. Ralph Macchio is 52. Jeff Probst is 52. Matthew McConaughey is 44. Diddy is 44. Bethany Frankel, 43. I'm Stryker. I just ruined the showbiz.
K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas, night number one. It's the 24th annual show, believe it or not, coming up on Saturday, December 7th. You can go to krock.com for all the details, and we'll give you even more details, including all the on-sale information you need to know in about 50 minutes. First, though, I'm a big Elton John fan, have been my whole life, and I don't think they've made a movie about him yet. And when you stop and think about it, here's a guy who's one of the biggest superstars in the world and has been for years, who had a fascinating life. I mean, he, you know, started off as a young piano prodigy, and then he, you know, went on and became a massive, massive star around the world, got into all sorts of drugs problems, was married to a woman for some time, and then finally came out as gay, and then has kind of reinvented himself in so many different ways, and the crazy costumes, and what a career. Who plays Elton John? Who is the perfect person to play Elton John in a big screen movie that's going to be made and out next year?
I would say Tom Hardy. That would be my guess.
That's an interesting
idea. Tom Hardy.
You mean Bane from The Dark Knight Rises? Is that who you're talking about?
That's who they're saying is going to take the role. Is that weird?
He joins us in studio right now to discuss.
Good morning.
Hi, Tom Hardy. How are you?
I'm not Tom Hardy. I'm a mercenary from the depths of hell. My name's Bane.
You really stay in character as Bane all the time, do you?
No. I try not to. It's something that was cursed upon me.
Right.
It's not a blessing.
All right, Bane. So,
Tom Hardy's infrastructure and money served me well for moments.
I see.
But now he's no longer needed.
Oh, okay.
Hello, now, Lisa May.
Hi, Bane.
Say my name.
Bane.
Say it again.
Bane.
Now look in my eyes. Deepen them.
Yes.
Say, I love Bane.
I love Bane.
Now say, snort my diarrhea.
No.
What the? Why would this happen?
Terrible thing.
What's wrong with you?
I honestly don't have any idea why I said that.
So, Bane, it's a big task. Look, it's one thing to be in a huge movie like The Dark Knight Rises playing yourself, but it's another thing altogether to play one of the most recognizable and famous musicians in history, Elton John. What qualifies you for this role?
I wrote many Elton John songs. People don't know that. I ghost wrote handfuls of songs with Bernie Taupin.
I thought it was just Bernie Taupin and Elton John.
The great part about being immortal is that you can do things all throughout history.
I see. Okay.
I met Bernie Taupin at the Hyatt House in 1973.
Okay.
I just got back from Vietnam.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm a mercenary.
Right.
And there was a war there.
Right. We get that.
Killed
we get
a lot of people.
We get the tie-in. Yeah.
Lots.
Right.
What Elton John songs did you help write?
I wrote Daniel.
You didn't write Daniel.
I did. It's about me. It's about a war hero who returns from Vietnam and just wants to live his normal life. And I told Bernie Taupin my story, and people said, you'll be lauded as a hero when you return from Vietnam. And I said, I don't want to be. I want to return to my life as Bane, a simple man. But then, since then, I've gone on to kill many people and take over Gotham City. And Bernie Taupin said, well, tell me your story. And I said, all right. And then next thing you know, Bernie Taupin, Tony Orlando, and I are making Joni Mitchell airtight.
Okay.
It was a crazy night.
We don't want to hear about that.
I see you do have a guitar.
You're my brother. You are older than me. Do you still feel the pain?
Right.
Of Charlie being knee-deep around you, 3 clicks north of Saigon? Your whole country has forlorn you. They've abandoned you. What are you left to do? Fire a Russian-made rifle at anything that moves. A whole nation of twins and water buffalo.
I don't feel like we're guiding this
the
interview.
The Rice Paddy was nothing but strife and bullets.
All right,
Tom. Do you know what it's like to live through that? No, you don't, Batman. You with your spoiled lifestyle.
Okay. Babe,
I was raised through darkness. You were raised through opulence.
Okay. It sounds like they did change some of the lyrics before Daniel was finally recorded. What other Elton John songs do you feel particularly close to?
Rocket Man.
Rocket
Man. He's a man who's isolated by his time in space. I've been to space.
You haven't been to space, but that's going to be the name of the movie. It's going to be called Rocket Man.
Oh, I haven't been to space?
No.
I haven't been to space? Have you read every goddamn Batman comic book ever? You don't know about me going to space. That's where I found Venom.
I didn't realize that. I apologize that. I'm sorry.
Oh. You going to sing?
This goddamn mask isn't great for singing. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. The touchdown rigged me right again to fine. I'm not the man I think I am at home. Oh, no, no, no. No, I'm a rocket man.
Tom, are you sure that they don't want Tom Hardy, the actor, to play Elton John?
Rocket Man!
Sorry.
Burning out a fuel of... Jeez Louise.
All right.
Do you understand my parking spot here was taken by Rick Rubin?
No, I don't know.
What the hell?
Do you have a parking spot here,
I'm immortal.
Right, but we have a parking spot
for
you.
These cargo pants aren't working out for me, Lisa.
I can see that.
They're cut and baggy, and they're great for cargo, but my balls are sticking to my leg.
All right. Listen, Bane, we got to go. How about one more number, something that maybe we haven't heard from you as Elton John in Rocket Man, the movie?
Sounds like a goddamn song, girl. Yeah.
I don't think he knows any songs.
He can't think of a single
electric tiny dancer.
There we go. All right.
That sounds terrible.
Count the headlights on the highway. Lay me down in sheets of linen.
What's happening?
It's been a busy day today. It's the truth. It's been a busy day.
Right.
Don't text and drive, kids.
Man, there's a lot of great music out right now. The Arctic Monkeys have a great album out, and they recently played the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock. I watched that performance. They are tremendous live performers. And they're going to be part of the bill for night number one of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. Our 24th annual party is going to be happening this year on Saturday, December the 7th at the Shrine Auditorium. Alas, there is no more Gibson, but the Shrine's going to be just right. Kings of Leon are going to be on the bill. Also, Vampire Weekend, Queens of the Stone Age, AFI, Arctic Monkeys, as we said, Cage the Elephant, Group Love, Foals, New Politics. This is all brand new information. You have not yet missed it. We just made the announcement this morning for the first time on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Tickets go on sale Friday at noon. You have to be a street team member, so go to krock.com and sign up to be in the street team. And then if you don't want to be a member of a street team, you can cancel afterwards, but just get the password. And then at Friday at noon, you can buy the tickets, but they are going to ask you for a password, so you will need to have that.
So street team member, free to join. You get the password back. Night number one tickets go on sale this Friday at noon. You can get the complete details at krock.com about the charities that we're raising money for and more details about the Shrine and about how everything is laid out. And then soon we will have details on night number two. Think we're done?
Yeah,
not
I
yet.
David Hasselhoff. Listen, I wanted to figure out how to get tickets if I get down there.
We can't go through all this, can we?
don't come down, David. You just go to krock.com and
yeah, but where do I? Where can I get them? I mean, they're like, where is there?
They go on sale Friday at noon.
Can I come to your radio station tonight and pick up something, or can I just go down there? Because
it doesn't make any sense.
And do you think there's rooms at the Marriott available? Do you know?
I would imagine.
There might be.
Major fan of K-Rock.
Dang,
I'd love to introduce the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
They're not playing this year.
Well, no.
Got a bunch of other people playing, but thank you for calling.
How far is the festival from the Marriott in Palm Desert? Do you know?
About 100 miles.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 25 minutes till 10.
And, of course, all morning long, we've been talking about the 24th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. Just announced night number one is Saturday, December 7th. Details at krock.com. One of the guys we'll be hanging out with that night is in studio with us right now, in for Ralph Garman. Here's our friend Ted Stryker with the Showbiz Beat.
Hey! I gotta say, this is the highlight of, for me, at K-Rock, anytime I get to be on the show, because it's my favorite show before I even worked here, and now that I get to be on the show, it excites me very much. Thanks for having me on.
Don't bring it down.
Now the pressure's on. All right, I have a pair of tickets to the advanced screening of The Hunger Games: Catching Fire. It's November 18th at AMC Burbank 16. Five callers right now. Callers, how about 5 through 10? 1-800-520-1067. You will go see The Hunger Games: Catching Fire. Jennifer Lawrence has become one of my favorite actresses.
She's great.
She makes it look so easy, and she is so good looking.
She is great. Yeah, I agree.
God, I
like
her.
Hey, hey, Ted.
Yes.
Five pairs of tickets would be callers 5 through 9.
I love
five
maple
through ten
leaves.
Is six pairs.
All right, callers five
I
through
love
nine.
Maple leaves is what he came back with.
Callers five through nine. Tweet Bean about Pluto, maple leaves, and daylight savings time, and you'll get a response. Here you go, Pamela Anderson. This is very impressive. Other than her haircut, she just finished the New York, not the second, but she did the New York City Marathon this weekend. She finished it with a time of 5 hours and 41 minutes, which is an average of about 13 minutes per mile, that's, which is not bad.
That's pretty fast for a non-runner, certainly.
Especially with huge cans.
Yeah, well, that's running. What I was going to ask is, besides the fact that she's 45 or whatever she is, right? Lisa, could you run if you had those?
Well,
seriously?
They do have foundation wear that will strap you down really good.
And 13 minutes a mile, that's a fast, brisk walk, so it's not like she's sprinting.
No, but
like
if
some,
you're
going to
run a whole marathon, that's decent.
Giant size cans.
But I have to say, and no joke, I mean, we can mock the celebrities all we want. I don't think I could run the marathon in that speed. I just don't.
I don't think I could either.
Bean, if you trained for it, you could. You need about 4 months and you could do that, Bean. 13
really?
Minutes
okay.
a mile. Yes, you could.
You strike me as the kind of guy who runs marathons.
I've done 8 triathlons, but 0 marathons.
I do nothing but Ironman. That's my thing.
I would like to try that one
Once
day.
Once I
but
started
that's a
dominating that, I realized that's my world.
All right, speaking of dominating, and I tell this story because, Kevin, I know you're going to the World Cup in Brazil, right?
Yes.
And you're going to take Funny Brad with you?
That's correct, Brad
You
Williams.
Two are going together.
Yes.
This is a TV show. All right, so there is a great brothel out there. That Justin Bieber was just at. He was seen there. He was leaving the brothel. The name of the place is called Centauros. You may want to write that down. Centauros. C-E-N-T-A-U-R-O-S. It's in Rio de Janeiro. And he was in there, and he came out of the brothel. He had a bed sheet draped over him. And this follows a story earlier in his tour where he was in a place called, Panama City Nightclub. He took home ten women. And one of the women talking about Justin Bieber, his skills in the sack, they called him un papacito. He is un papacito. Do you know what that means?
Little man?
Papa?
Little Poppy.
Little Poppy.
He's Little Poppy. Kevin, you have a chance to be Little Poppy when you go to the World
no,
Cup.
Please.
Funny Brad, already, funny enough, is Little Poppy.
Uh-huh. Who cares about Justin Bieber? Nobody cares about Bieber.
All right, Sacha Baron Cohen, of course, I loved the Ali G show when it was on HBO. Now, on the FXX cable channel, they've picked up the entire series beginning next year under the Ali G Resurrection with the Z. It includes 6 episodes that we have never seen.
Oh, no kidding.
Which include Borat will be in there and Bruno as well. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm only telling the story because I'm interested. There's going to be a Love Boat reunion on tomorrow on The Talk. Moving on.
Wow. Are you going to watch that?
No. How does that make
no.
the list?
I've probably just ruined my chances of ever coming back talking about a Love Boat reunion. Kevin is scratching his head. Kevin is upset. Kevin, I'm sorry.
Just move on.
All right, I'm moving on. So the YouTube Awards were yesterday, and I was actually looking forward to it. I tuned in, and after about 9 minutes, I was done.
Couldn't
I was
it.
Done. There was very little content. It was unorganization on TV. Sometimes is good for 5 minutes. The whole thing was just too much, and the numbers weren't that impressive. Their average was just 175,000 people tuned in.
And that sounds like a lot until you look at the star power that they had on the program. I mean, when you have people like Lady Gaga and Arcade Fire, you expect a lot more people to tune in. But wasn't the thing just completely plagued by technical problems, Ted?
There were, especially in the beginning. The microphones weren't working. The host was Jason Schwartzman and Reggie Watts. It was just a cluster F. Completely unorganized, which I know that's what they were going for. And with those stars being, you said, the only time they had a spike in terms of people watching is when Lady Gaga did her performance. They had about 220,000 viewers right there.
And then half left after she was done.
And then half left when she was done. Yeah. All the little monsters said adios. All right, celebrating a birthday today. Where's my birthday list? Oh, hell, I don't have it. Oh. I know Doris Roberts has a birthday. She was in Grandma's Boy. Matthew McConaughey has a birthday. There's some other people with birthdays.
Stryker.
Kathy Griffin, she's great. I like her red hair and her stand-up comedy. And I like her because my wife likes her very much. And also having a birthday is Diddy, who's got a new television network. That's got to be a pain in the ass. Jeff Probst is 52. And the greatest Karate Kid of all time, Ralph Macchio, is also 52.
Better than Jaden Smith?
Yes. The worst Karate Kid ever. But the best actor in the history of the Karate Kids is William Zabka, who played Johnny Lawrence. There you go.
All
Do you know who he is, Kevin?
Sweep the Leg?
So, yes, exactly. Come sweep on. The leg.
I know what I'm talking
there
about.
There you go. All right, and man, thanks for having me on. I'm Stryker. I just ruined the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Stryker. Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean show. We have Xavier Henry from the Lakers on the program.
Xavier, he has blue eyes.
We have said his name wrong 15 times mm-hmm. so far. David Beck will be on the program. He has written a book called They Asked You What? Parenting Your Child Through Today's Middle School Sex Ed.
He is a middle school sex ed teacher.
David That's Beckham is on?
Just Beck.
I know.
Oh, David Beck. Beck.
David Beck. And comedian Ray Romano also tomorrow morning. And we've got more tickets for you to go to the advanced screening of Hunger Games Catching Fire tomorrow.